If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Don't they just put on a show that just knocks your ass off?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean,
can you get your ass knocked off? Is that a physical possibility?
I don't think that's even an expression, Kevin, much less a physical possibility.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Could you die? Excuse me, could you die? Could you die? Could you die? I could die. Could you die? How cute that is.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
That's a fountain of conversation, man. That's a geyser. I mean, whoa, Teddy, stand back, man.
You ever hang around the gymnasium?
I think, frankly, you're out of line with that question.
You like movies about gladiators?
And now.
Okay, band meeting. Jermaine.
Yes.
Yes? Brett.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Not here.
You're not here?
No.
Where are you?
No, I was just joking.
But you're obviously here, so I'm putting you down.
Yeah, get on.
Right.
Our feature presentation.
They take a roll every time just before the band meeting, and there's only two of them.
Yeah.
Plus the manager and two guys, and they insist on taking roll call. There's only three of them in the room.
Then we can see they're both there. Yeah.
Why is that show so funny?
I don't know, but it's great.
Flight of the Conchords, name of it. It's on HBO just after Entourage, and it's really funny.
It is.
Really good. Did you see the Race War episode?
Yes, I finally caught up last night to the Race War.
Was that funny or what?
Oh, you're an Australian.
Guy wouldn't sell him an apple because he was from New Zealand.
Well, you don't want to.
He was confused.
Yeah, you don't want to start letting those dirty New Zealanders into your world. Come on, man, that's nothing but trouble. They're notoriously bad.
He said, "Bleach this one. It's been ruined." It was a New Zealander touched it.
You have to decontaminate it.
Good times.
Yeah.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It is it's Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's the first of.
Yes.
So much better.
Oh,
yes.
So much better.
So much better.
So, what was the? No, Mike didn't go last night, but what was the crowd like? What was the crowd doing when Barry Bonds would come up to the plate four times last night during the Giants Dodgers game?
It was deafening boos. One was I was listening to some other sports show. They're timing it. It was like 45 seconds of audio that was like overwhelming Vin Scully.
So this means...
Like it was, the sound was so loud.
You couldn't hear.
It was like
hear
overwhelming Vin Scully.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what's going to happen, just like the Hank Aaron film that you've seen for the last 30 years of him breaking Babe Ruth's record and the enthusiasm and the excitement in the crowd, what's going to happen is for however long Barry Bonds holds the record, if he breaks it in Los Angeles, on the tape will be overwhelming boos if he ends up hitting it in L.A.
That's true.
I think it's starting to get
I hope
to
he does.
I really do think
you
it's
do?
Starting to get to it.
I thought you said he thrived on that.
I think he does thrive on it, but I think the whole L.A. thing, and I think that the pressure of the tying and then the subsequent winning home run has really finally gotten to the guy. I mean,
well, I will tell you, it's screwing with the team. I will tell you that you're starting to see from the manager on down, they're like, we hate this. I don't know. I want it just to be over. It's not all about burying the home run. We're trying to win games here, and you know, and it's all out of whack. I mean, it's just so much of a distraction. Just the media coverage alone all the time is driving them crazy.
And you know, the manager can say that all he wants. You pan to the bench for the Giants every time Barry Bonds comes up. There's a couple dudes on the team with camcorders.
Yeah.
I got to get this for my personal archive.
Yeah, so, that's funny.
I mean, you say that all you want. No. We're just taking it game by game. Yeah, yeah. It's icing on the cake, you know, Barry, hopefully. But we're just trying to win baseball games. BS. The team stinks, and that's all you have going for you. So, I mean, it's impossible for the Giants to even think to salvage this season. But like I said, I think it's getting to them. For one thing, it is way worse in L.A. for him than anywhere else, honestly.
Right.
It really is. And if you analyze, he's always, throughout the rest of his career, he's excelled in Los Angeles. But the last 2 years, he's hitting like .140.
Fantastic.
With like two home runs in the last couple seasons. I mean, I think it's really starting to catch up to him that I think he might feel unsafe here.
Well, he should.
Because he's not.
How unfortunate.
In a perfect world, and I've said this before, I know it's not probably going to happen, but how awesome would it be? Because hitting home runs is a lot mental. You know what I mean? It's,
oh, yeah.
There's a lot of that. Any you know, Michael Jordan on down, anybody who's spectacular at what they do, it's mostly mental.
Right.
And that would be so awesome if he just froze and he played like two more years just trying to get that record. He never could. He was one short.
Sure would.
Is he one short now or two?
He's one short of tying two of
Brady. One short of tying.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Unfortunately, he's already said he's going to play next year, too.
I know. So. I'm saying that's great. Yeah. Let's let him play five more years. But he's going to have a mental block. He won't be able to hit a home run. That would be awesome.
But I'm disappointed awesome. People didn't turn their backs and do that whole thing.
Did
I
some
that
do that?
Really.
Did some people turn their backs? Or?
I think you guys are cutting too much credit to the average Dodger fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, time, booing comes a lot more, not more naturally, I think.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
that's what it's going to be.
People are hoping that there's going to be this moment of reverence when he finally does break it, and that there won't be booze. It'll just be kind of silence, and people will be in awe of this great record. I said, are you out of your mind? Have you ever been in the right field pavilion right. at a Dodger game, especially during a Giants game? Are you out of your freaking
yeah,
mind?
Of course. Well, Psycho Mike's going to be there in the crowd on Wednesday. A lot of our listeners, too, are going to be there. So just do what you can. Whatever you think at the time is going to make Mr. Bonds the most miserable, just go ahead and take care of that for us.
I'm going to cut him.
Well, I don't know that cutting him. I don't know that.
I would like you to run on the field when he's going around the bases.
You want me to
tackle him?
It's like those two guys did with Hank Aaron.
All right, but
and cut him on the way.
I was going to say I'm debating between maybe like the Nancy Kerrigan like
pipe, oh whack him in the knee
stick and just break right. his leg off.
No, no, not his leg. You got to break his wrist or something so he can't
do like
bat anymore.
Like a weird Joe DiMaggio baseball slide with a blade and cut his Achilles tendon so he can never walk again.
Yeah, I don't think we're suggesting that. I don't think that's a
good idea. No, we're just kidding. Yeah.
And by the way, they're going to have plenty of police. Of course, they do have plenty of police. To make sure nobody runs on the field, but. The worst that happens, you run on the field, you get thrown out, dude. And at that point, he's already hit the home run. You can go home. You don't mind. So, just think about that, people, if you're there. I'm not suggesting you do it, but I'm just saying, what's the worst that can happen if you do it?
So if he was walked twice and he struck out.
He struck out in the first inning, and not only did he strike out, but Brad Penny made him look bitch made. It was horrible. He looked horrible. He was, but he reached on an error, and he walked. So, I mean, nothing too eventful for Barry. He did end up scoring a run, but he was driven in.
Fantastic.
Okay. Well, there's another one tonight, another one tomorrow.
Thank God that didn't happen.
Yeah.
All right. It's Wednesday morning. Anybody have anything to talk about before we get to the schedule?
No.
Lisa, you went to seven or eight plays yesterday?
I really didn't, actually. Strangely enough.
Bean traveled home? How was that? Good times?
Oh, 2-hour flight, left 2 hours late. I mean, that's pretty much par for the course these days.
God.
I think you really almost have to count on the fact that planes won't leave on time now. And it used to be way different. You used to think, oh, man, I got 40 minutes to get there, and they're going to leave that minute, you know?
Yeah.
But not anymore.
They still demand that you get there 2 hours early, though, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I raced to the airport, and the first thing that happened when I checked in on the little kiosk, is it said the new departure time is. And it was 2 hours later. I was like, you've got to be kidding.
Yes.
I guess if I were smart, I would have checked that before I went to the airport, and I wouldn't have gone to the airport and spent the 2 hours there. I could have gone someplace else, you know?
Yeah. You can call ahead. You can call and find out about that.
I know. I should have. And you're right. I absolutely need to start making that the habit because it's more frequent that they're late than that they're on time. I did want to mention just one thing because we've gotten such great email response from it, and if you have not been paying attention, Breakfast with My Chemical Romance is up at krock.com, and people are really enjoying it. And it is available right there on the front page for download. You can listen to it, and you can also see the pictures from the event, too. And I think, most listeners have never been to one of our breakfast shows. I don't think they realize how intimate it is. It's not like going to a concert. I mean, it's like being in your living room with the band, and they're performing right in your face. And you really get the sense of that from the photographs that are posted at krock.com, too. You see what a special event it is.
This in from Dave, the Dave News Network. You get arrested for running on the field.
Oh.
Thanks to the Chicago White Sox. I'm not exactly sure how that happened. White Sox fans apparently ruined it.
Wasn't that because they beat up the first base coach of the Kansas City Royals?
Oh, is that what it was?
Remember that being?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sure. I do remember that.
Those two of the... they looked like characters on a sketch comedy show. They were like the most white character, like ultimate... quintessential white trash looking dudes, and it was a father and son tandem.
That's right.
And they came on and just beat the piss out of a first base coach from the Royals.
Dad, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, they were
let's get them.
Let's get them. They were shirtless and all skinny with and tatted out with bad tats, looked like jail tats, little meth freaks.
All I'm saying is, what's the worst that could happen? I mean, you run out of the Facebook.
Even
answer. If they arrest you, though, what's the charge for that? What do they do?
But that's not what we're suggesting people do.
We're saying don't do that.
That would
in fact.
Be terrible.
But if you did, how bad would it be? That's all I'm saying.
I got it. I hear you.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard about the schizophrenic mouse, but we will tell you. We'll tell you about it today. Apparently, they're injecting crazy into mice these days.
I didn't know you
happened.
Could do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? That I mean, I understand they do a lot of things in the lab and a lot of things with animals to try to crack the code on some of these diseases, and in this case, you know, schizophrenia. But there's a guy who wakes up in the morning, and his job is to try to figure out how to make mice mentally ill. That's what he's going to work to do today.
I saw what happened when you do that with sheep, and it gets ugly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It gets really ugly, so need to be very careful about that. Also on today's show, speaking of the X Games, we have Travis Pastrana, who's going to be on the show today. Guy who did the double backflip last year.
Yeah.
Very excited. He's one of the favorites, one of the fan favorites. He's a super cool guy.
Yep.
What's his life like now that it's peaked for all time, and he can never do anything again that's going to compare?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Why don't you ask him that, Bean? Yeah. That'll be really fun for
okay,
him.
Okay, so you peaked. What's up next?
I mean, it's like, you know, you're Jennifer Hudson. You win an Oscar. You're like 25. You win an Oscar. Then what do? The rest of your life is downhill. Same thing with Travis Pastrana. He's done the best thing he's ever going to do in his life, and now it's just a question of waiting to die.
He's sort of he's into the rally cars now, though, so he's kind of
that's true. He has left that behind.
Focusing on the new thing.
You're right. He can excel in another field now, right. I guess.
Also on today's show, I don't know if you saw, but Dick Cheney was on Larry King last night.
Oh, Lord.
Dick Cheney, Larry King.
Yeah, we're supposed to get deep in penetrating questions.
A guy who
right?
doesn't ask questions.
That's what she said.
And a guy who doesn't get answers.
Yeah,
I thought it was a draw last night. I thought Larry did a pretty good job. I thought, you know, asking the tough questions. And I thought Dick did a pretty good job of, you know, hold his own.
Dodging the questions?
Himself. Yeah, well, no? I mean, you know what you – look, I could answer the questions as Dick Cheney.
Right.
You know what he's going to say
in
every answer. But he you know, was pretty steadfast. And I think it was an entertaining exchange. We got some highlights.
Okay.
There's a new movie out called Rescue Dawn that's been in kind of limited release. It's going to be in wider release on this Friday. And we have Steve Zahn.
Love him.
On
he's
the program.
So good.
He really is always good in everything he does.
Yeah.
And he got to be with Christian Bale.
Mike.
Psycho Mike has a man crush on Christian Bale. And really would go gay for him.
Oh, yeah.
Really would.
Oh, yeah.
No question. So we might have to remove him from the studio when we're talking to Steve.
Yeah,
it might be a good idea.
I think so.
It could get ugly.
Do you think they shower on set?
Mike, I don't think that's the purpose of the interview today. I don't think that's the angle we're going with, all right?
Thanks for that info, Bean, today.
Oh, yay! Come on. How are you going to come at me like that?
How are you going to come at us like that? Bean's been spectacular lately, so we'll tell you some of the behind-the-scenes. It's not really conversation as much as it is a monologue.
Yep.
So we'll tell you about that a little bit later this morning. You can rent a dog. I don't know if you heard that, but we talked about it late in the show yesterday. If you're the kind of person who can't afford it or you travel too much
right.
or whatever, it's not really the best thing for you to have a dog. You can rent it for like 3 days and give it back.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. And we're going to talk to Ashley Casale, who's the founder of something called March for Peace. And what they're doing is they're walking from, was it Los Angeles?
I think so.
Los Angeles, all the way to Washington, D.C. They're walking.
Wow.
To protest the war and hopefully end it. So they're in the middle of Iowa somewhere, and we're going to call them up and ask them, huh?
how's that going?
How's that working out for you?
Why is everyone here so stupid?
Well, I'm sure there's a reason why they think it works.
We'll take a quick break. We also have tickets for the X Games, too, today.
Oh,
so
good.
Take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz beat neck. I had a dream last night. We were playing Chevelle. And then I woke up. I was like,
"Funny,
that was close."
That was Chevelle. We were just playing right now. I mean, that just happened, man. Does that blow your mind? That just happened. It's 5:51 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday morning. Ralph, what's going on?
Well, Paris Hilton's finally doing that charity work she talked about when she got out of prison.
Is she?
Remember how I said she was going to dedicate herself to making the world a better place?
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In Touch Magazine reports that. The celebutante took some time off from her usual partying and beach hopping to visit the ICU at Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. Not quite sure how that helps, but
ICU.
She did something.
That that's nice.
She went to visit sick children at the children's hospital.
But we found out from Psycho Mike when he asked his baseball team. Kids don't know who she is.
Right, that's what I was thinking. How does that help? It's not like, you know, you show up in a clown costume or you're Batman or, right. you know, Superman or something where the kids can, that's Santa.
Hey, kids, Paris Hilton is here.
Hey, skinny blonde lady.
Who?
Are you a nurse? So, but wow. look, she's doing something. For
Maybe,
her, that
yeah.
must have been a massive sacrifice.
Oh, sure.
She had to stop shopping for 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. So. Meanwhile, her BFF, Nicole Richie, finally publicly addressing the story about her pregnancy and saying, yes, in fact, she is pregnant. 4 months along, claims Nicole.
Well, you sure can't tell.
No, well, when you weigh
I know.
8.
It's a little scary.
You don't really see the baby so much.
You'd think you would see it more if you're super skinny.
Well, not getting any nutrition. The
kids on a diet, too. Yeah. Okay.
She will be on talking about it with Diane Sawyer in their two-part interview on Good Morning America tomorrow and 2020 on Friday. So get all the details.
God. What's the, maybe we need to have some sort of an office pool and over-under on the what that baby's going to weigh. I've got 11 ounces.
I think the baby will fit inside a small 7-Eleven coffee cup. That's my guess. I don't, how much does that weigh? Eight ounces?
Yeah, right.
Pete Doherty, he's a champ.
He is.
This is the drug addict boyfriend, ex-boyfriend of Kate Moss.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he can't make up his mind about his ex-girlfriend, Kate Moss. He told London's Daily Mail newspaper that she, and I quote, is a nasty old rag.
Wow.
I don't even know what
romantic.
That means. It's the worst insult ever. You're a nasty old rag. Who kicked him in the head, metaphorically. But he also says that he loves Kate with all his heart. And he's making a public appeal to get her back because he can't even get a hold of her. She won't answer his phone calls. Well, that's the way to get her back. Pete, call her a nasty old rag in the newspaper.
That usually melts him.
Here's the best part.
Yeah.
He's already asked another woman to marry him.
No.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Since they broke up?
Mm-hmm. Kate broke up with him. He claims that broke his heart, but he's already engaged to marry another woman named Christine.
Hmm.
Well, that's not how you get your girlfriend back then, is by letting it leak that you're engaged to somebody else.
The two are set to marry in November, although friends saying he popped the question out of anger. Which is the best way to ask one to marry.
For those of you that don't know, super talented musician, its life is just being ruined by drugs, and he just can't stop it.
Yeah,
from Britain.
I had him in the last DUI office pool, and I did not select him for round two when we had to restart after Lisa won with Lindsay Lohan as a pick. I'm now regretting that decision. Now I wish I had him again.
Well, here's the thing. You're not going with a high percentage pick if you go with a Brit. Because if they live in London, they largely use public transportation.
Yeah, true.
Cabs and the tube and,
right.
you know, limos and that kind of stuff. I mean, L.A., really, that's your prime target area.
That's true.
Because they have to drive.
By the way, I was sick. I didn't get to pick. Do I get a pick?
Nope, you missed it.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
You got Joe Namath, I think.
Joe Namath, okay.
Speaking of Broadway Joe, Paramount Pictures has announced they're going to do a movie based on the life of the legendary New York Jets quarterback.
That could be good.
I just wanted to kiss you.
I have that clip. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Joe, it's been a tough season for Jet fans. What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling. I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay, yeah!
That's a huge compliment.
Yeah!
When are you going to stop?
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
I'll be fine.
You know, he's a legendary ladies' man superstar back in the 60s when he played. Paramount Pictures is looking to get Jake Gyllenhaal to sign on to play Broadway Joe.
Oh.
So, there you go.
They look a lot alike.
They do have a similar shape.
I think a lot of people today would not... I think they'd be surprised at what a huge star he was, too.
I mean, I
don't know who you would compare him to today, but he was not only, you know, a Super Bowl-winning quarterback, but he had that flash and that personality, and he was the partier, and he was out with all the models. I mean, he was front-page news for a number of years.
Yeah. Starting a couple movies around that era, too. That's how popular it was. They were putting him in movies. And, this is a great story. The New York Post is saying one of the reasons Lindsay Lohan may have fallen off the wagon so quickly is that her ex-boyfriend, Callum Best, who still hangs around her crowd, said to her friends that now that Lindsay's sober, she's too dull for his taste. And that she's not fun anymore.
Got to have her drunk.
He's a sweetheart.
That is nice.
That's the way to support somebody.
Although that's good advice to think about if somebody's thinking of giving up drinking, is you will lose all your friends and your life will not be worth living. I mean, that's the advice we're giving you here from the Kevin DeBeach Show, right?
It will be just dull as dishwater, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay.
What's the point?
Being excited?
About?
Barbara Walters is going to announce the replacements for Rosie O'Donnell on The View this morning.
Well, if it's Whoopi, as has been rumored, then I'm out. I can no longer enjoy that program. Yeah, so, no, I'm not excited.
Apparently, Whoopi and actress Sherry Shepherd will be splitting time in the fourth chair on that show.
Here's the thing about that, though, Bean. You should have never enjoyed that show.
I like Barbara. No, they did a show with women on it that
appeals to women.
They had terrific guests. They really did have great guests.
Oh, you watch for the guests.
And, you know, they were very topical, and they did every day, just like on Regis and Kelly's show. They did a pretty good job of kind of recapping the news and talking about the hot items, and it was interesting to see the different perspectives that they brought to the show. But Whoopi is just a total deal breaker for me. I never even saw Ghost because I hated Whoopi so much.
Wow. You really put your foot down.
Yeah. Showed her.
Victoria Beckham was also rumored to be a candidate for the chair on The View. That has turned out to be unfounded, but she will be doing a guest starring role in Ugly Betty this season.
Boobs.
Not really.
Not really?
Not Victoria.
Hmm. All right, take it back.
They just look big because she's super skinny. I think they're implants. Yeah. And speaking of implants and people who need them, Gwyneth Paltrow in the news.
She needs more than that.
Talking about why she signed on to a comic book movie like Iron Man with People magazine. She said it was jumping at the chance to work with Robert Downey Jr. She said she had to work hard to get back into shape for the film because she had just had Moses, her 1-year-old, when she signed on. So she used a trainer and did some cardio. And she said she's ready now. She's ready to get back into the acting business.
Yeah, she's been really laying low on the film roles since her kids started coming.
Rumor is she may have her own spin-off, her own comic movie, Stick Girl. So, look forward to seeing that. And there's some other BS thing for Bean to visit on vacation.
Right.
Oh, no. Honolulu, Hawaii today has announced they are unveiling their life-size statue of Elvis Presley.
Yay!
Why are they doing that in Hawaii?
He was.
Did he do a movie there or something?
He was. He did several movies there, and he also had a big TV special called Aloha from Hawaii, which was a worldwide live via satellite concert, first concert of its kind ever. So,
it was the most watched concert in history at the time.
Really don't care.
Yeah. Is that the one that they still widely call the Elvis Comeback Special?
No, that was '68. No. That was a different show, but very popular TV show. 1973 was the date of that. The bronze statue is, as I mentioned, life-size and weighs 11,000 pounds, which is just slightly less than Elvis actually weighed before he died. So, Bean, put that on your list of vacation spots to visit.
BS places to go.
And go to Jack Lord, right to Elvis. Just pat yourself right there in the street.
Been a big week for me, you know, when they unveiled plans to make the world's largest ketchup packet in Ohio. I still got to see that, and add that to the list, I guess. You guys heard about that?
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Tempest Bledsoe, who played Vanessa on The Cosby Show, is 34 years old today. Coolio. He's living a gangster's paradise.
Yes. That's what I understand. Yeah.
He's 44 years old today. Chuck D from Public Enemy is 47. Joe Elliott for Def Leppard.
Yes.
48 years old today. And Tom Wilson. The name may not be familiar to you, but he is responsible for one of the top three least funny cartoons in history. It's, you got the cat. Who's the freaking cat? Garfield, right. And Peanuts.
Right.
How dare you.
Buying for number one.
Not
and
one
then
time
right
funny.
Behind them, yeah. Ziggy. Tom Wilson created Ziggy, the character Ziggy.
I don't really know Ziggy.
Ziggy. You know Ziggy.
I mean, I know of, but I never...
A little round dude. With a
never read it.
Nose, bulbous nose, Ziggy. A lot of greeting cards and stuff. There's a time when
Ziggy
ruled
Stardust.
The world. No.
Oh.
Very different. That was David Bowie. David Bowie was Ziggy Stardust. That's very different from Ziggy the cartoon character.
All right.
Who is Ziggy?
Why does Bean suck so bad?
Hey, wait a minute.
Listeners are now sending
in their Bowie song, which is
bad.
Which is more popular than David Bowie's had in 20 years. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 21 minutes after 6 o'clock.
We got highlights from Vice President's appearance on Larry King Live last night. Of course, it wasn't live. He didn't take calls. He wouldn't do that. But they did tape it earlier in the day. And I think we may talk to Dick. I think we may get Dick on the line coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock.
That's what she said.
That's funny.
21 minutes after 6.
It's got to be rough being named Dick. I don't care who you are, how successful you are. There's got to be a certain part of your life that's just made miserable by the fact that your parents decided to name you Dick.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it doesn't matter how old you are, your friends. You're still going to have some friends.
Why wouldn't you say, call me Richard?
Because no one would. Would you call him Richard or Dick?
Well, it depends on who you're talking about. If it's Dick Cheney, that's what I'm saying. Dick Cheney.
So anyway, that's coming up. We have a unique problem here at K-Rock that we just like to share with you from time to time. And I used to think that it's because Bean's mind was so much more expanded than most of ours, that he had so many interests. Mm-hmm. But I'm coming to the realization that he's got no limits on anything. He's interested in everything, regardless of how interesting it is.
Pretty much.
Everything. Doesn't matter what it is. And he forgets sometimes, that there are other people involved in a conversation. So what will happen is we're playing the commercials, we're playing a song or something like that, and Bean will just out of the blue, we're not having a conversation about anything. He'll just out of the blue ask us a question or read from the newspaper or something.
Some useless, meaningless fact.
We don't have any context. We don't know why he's saying it. None of us care. But he continues to do it. So I write it down, and then we do a little game we like to call...
Thanks for that info, Bean!
But I'd like to say that every time anyone starts a new conversation, it's coming from something that isn't already being discussed about. I mean, you can't automatically penalize somebody for bringing up a new topic.
You can if it's a topic that no one's interested in. That's the point. Because when Lisa brings up a new topic, we're all fine with it. I can bring up a topic.
We're interested.
Mike can bring up a topic.
It's an area that we all find interesting.
Ralph can bring up a topic because we all have something that you don't have, and that's any concern for the listener. for the person on the other side of the conversation who may not be interested in what you're bringing up.
There are things I don't bring up in this room because I know none of you care. I save it for other people.
There
in
you
my
go.
Life.
There's a lot of stuff I don't bring up,
that's
though.
That's a skill you could learn,
What the hell is there stuff
there's
you don't
nothing
bring
you don't
The
bring
stuff
up.
You don't hear about is the stuff I don't bring up because I don't think anyone will care.
And also,
I bring the gold. I just try to bring the gold.
Also, Bean, something that Kevin, Lisa, and I find myself doing also is that maybe the whole room might not be into something, but you can focus and direct. For instance, I don't talk about cardio and amino acids with Kevin. But I'll go to Ralph or I'll go to Lisa and I'll say, look at this study I found, da 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 da. Because you can kind of like gauge what people are interested in. You don't really have that.
What kind of examples do you have? Because I'm not sure I understand what you're talking about. Because I'm just hearing blah, 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 fluffy at this point.
I write stuff down verbatim when Bean says it. Plus, I also write down like the reactions that he got in the room that somehow can make him feel like he needs to continue doing what he's doing. So, for example, we'll be sitting there, you know, we just got out of talking about something, we're playing a song, none of us are really focusing on anything, and then Bean will just say, out of the blue, Sally Field looks good for her age.
Well, now that's a very reasonable comment.
That's that info, Bean.
If I'm looking through a magazine or a newspaper and I see a picture of Sally Field, she's 60-something, she looks good, I don't think that's extraordinarily out of line to comment about that. That's somebody who everybody is familiar with.
And that's your weakness, is that you don't see that as something that shouldn't be brought up.
Because Lisa would be interested in the fact that Sally Field looks good for her age.
I already know what Sally Field looks like because she's on my favorite show, Brothers and Sisters. But as we know, that's a show none of you believe is actually
There's
on the
no
air.
There's no show called Brothers and Sisters, Lisa. Right. Stop it. At least I don't lie. Point. At least Sally Field really does look good. You're making up TV shows.
If there's no show on TV called Brothers and Sisters starring Sally Field, why should we care what Sally Field looks like?
We don't.
Just because
you can't see her anywhere.
Just the fact that she's a famous, you know, Oscar-winning actress that everybody is familiar with. That's all. She just looks good.
Bean is a mini-Doc. This is the problem, is that Doc does the same thing. He'll bring up something out of the blue because he's been thinking about it. Most of the time it begs the question, well, what are you talking about? And everybody's miserable because he has no way of communicating with people that is of any interest to them.
Right.
It's more of a monologue than it is a conversation.
Yeah.
So, for example, Bean would say, and I wrote this down verbatim, did you guys know that the Cincinnati airport is in Kentucky?
Why would I tell
me that's not interesting.
It isn't.
How
it's
is
not.
That not interesting?
Don't care.
The airport that
Don't
serves Cincinnati, Ohio
care.
Is not in Ohio. That's interesting.
Okay. All right, stop talking for just 1 second and listen. Don't care.
How is that not interesting?
It's just not. Don't care.
You land in Kentucky when you fly to Cincinnati.
So Bean says, did you know the Cincinnati airport is in Kentucky? And Psycho Mike says, and I wrote this down verbatim, I will punch you in your effing face. Now, at that point, you would think maybe Bean would understand, oh, okay, well, no one's interested in that.
Yes.
And Bean pauses, and then he says, but it's true.
It is true, and I stand by that.
Info Bean.
I've been there.
Shut up.
I've seen it with my own eyes, man. You walk out that airport, you are so in Kentucky.
Right. We're acknowledging that.
If I ever fly there, I suppose that I'll figure that out. Probably not ever going
to
fly there.
We're acknowledging that, that is probably true, but you need to acknowledge that we don't give a flying F.
Well, then you're wrong.
I'm so hungry I could die.
Okay, now you sound like Paul Abdul.
Now, this is a guy who works at home and has access to all food.
All the time.
You know what it's like, guys.
Info Bean.
We've all been there where you go from fine, 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 and then instantly you're so hungry you're going to die, and you have to eat at that moment.
Right, and most of us just go get something to eat. Mm-hmm. We don't feel the need to share. Hey, I'm reading an article right now in the Seattle Times, and they're talking about a painting I own. How could anyone be less interested in that story?
What are we supposed to do with that? Is this where we're supposed to act all interested in it and go, Beam, what are you talking about?
This is the Doc
Why
syndrome.
Why is it in the paper? Where is it right now? Where can we see it? Is that what we're supposed to do?
No, I'm not asking
it. Is this fishing for us?
Yes. Not at all.
Yes.
Not at all.
So you can
I'm
tell
not,
us
no.
all about your art collection?
No, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. I'm not asking you to act like you're interested. I would hope that you would be interested.
This is just like the hot chick who's a size zero who walks into a room and goes, oh, I feel so fat today.
Yes.
So that every guy and girl in the room goes, but no!
You're so thin
and attractive. But Bean isn't thin and attractive. But what he does have is a robust intellect. So what he does is he throws out really ridiculous facts so that everybody go, wow, Bean, so interesting you are.
No. Same thing with Doc, by the way. We can't talk to Doc. He's too smart for us.
Yeah.
And he says things.
He's a weirdo,
though. Yeah, you're him. He says things that we don't understand. So somebody has to finally see. He just stands there and waits. Somebody has to finally say,
money.
Okay, what do you mean?
I don't understand.
I'm putting the new Atlanta Rhythm section on my iPod. He said. And then I wrote down on my paper, no one said a word. Not a response of any kind. Oh, really? They have a new album? Didn't know that. No response whatsoever.
Well, that's on you then. It's not on me. I held up my end of the conversation.
And then Bean follows that up with, it comes out today.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Where did the term under the weather come from?
Oh, that jam was just yesterday, I believe.
Where did the term under the weather come from?
One, who cares? And two, did you think one of us would really know?
I thought you might. The language is interesting. How expressions get into the language is interesting.
Try to follow me. It's interesting to you, not to us.
It just seems like a weird expression. That's
right.
All. We found out it came from
Google
sailors, by the way.
And find out where it came from.
We're fine with you thinking it. It's just there's got to be some way of stopping it from coming out of your mouth. This was yesterday. Hey, guys. Today's my favorite time of the week. No one says anything. I get to look up which CDs are new in the store and decide which ones I want to buy.
Tuesdays are exciting. That's all I'm saying.
If you love music,
you're excited when an album comes out that you've been looking forward to.
But I'm saying you should think that and not say it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
You know, everything is not an anecdote.
Oh, come on.
You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing or interesting.
I was trying to...
You're a miracle. Your stories have none of that. They're not even amusing accidentally.
But
by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And here's the final one. And this is maybe the best, because he wouldn't stop.
Okay.
Did you guys know that Stars and Stripes was actually composed on Christmas Day?
Stars and Stripes Forever, the song, yeah.
Now, at this point, Ralph was in the studio, and I wrote down what he said to Bean. Now, this is Ralph gently telling Bean, that's fine if you think that. We don't care. We don't want to know any more about it. We're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph says in a very nice way, F you in your effing face. To which Bean responds, John Philip Sousa wrote it in 1896. Pauses on Christmas Day.
That's the interesting part.
Pauses.
It's not interesting.
That's interesting. So what? You see, Ralph tried to let you know we don't care. You wouldn't stop.
The fact that a 4th of July classic
that info beam
has written in the dead of winter
info beam
is interesting
that's
to me.
That info beam.
To
I'm
me.
Just saying.
It, to can, me. That's
it
what you're saying.
It can be interesting to you. We're not trying to stop it from being interesting to you.
But you can't know if it's interesting to you unless somebody tells
that's
you.
That info beam.
I will tell you this. 99% of the time, we don't care what you're thinking. So go ahead and just keep that to yourself.
Ralph told you, by the way, and you ignored him.
F you in your effing face was his way of saying, don't need more details.
What do you think that meant?
And that spurs being on because now he knows he's annoying us.
He doesn't. I'm trying to annoy anybody.
I'm not. You do it on purpose.
Admit it.
It's just not true. I'm not going to lie.
Why else would you continue talking after Ralph yells, F you in your effing face?
I think I just felt like Ralph was fishing for more information. I felt like he would appreciate the story if he knew more
info beam.
Deep background on the composition of Stars and Stripes Forever.
I'm just saying.
I want to be a listener so bad and not in this room. You know? Because then you don't have to listen to all of Bean's mumblings.
It is hell. God save us.
I think I can speak for all of us when I say the next time something comes up and you think maybe they'll be interested. No.
Nope.
Not at all.
Not a chance.
Not a bit.
No way.
Wow.
Not going to happen.
Don't mind you thinking it. Stop saying it. You know what? Call Doc. He'll talk to you about it. We'll give you his phone number.
Let's talk dick, shall we?
Sorry, Doc. There you go.
Dick.
Larry King last night.
That was the cue for the big intro, Mike. That's what I was doing.
That was my bet.
Yeah, the vice president on with Larry King last night, and the vice president on the phone with us right now. Apparently, he is making the rounds, talking up the policies of the president. Good morning, Mr. Cheney.
So?
Do you not even say hi anymore?
Not after that intro.
All right.
You guys are still well of a machine over there. Right?
We are, yeah.
Well, we're doing the best we can. Listen, you sat down with Larry King last night for about 40 minutes or so. How did you feel the interview went, Mr. Vice President?
I thought he was out of line with a lot of his questions.
Larry King?
Yeah, he was too cutting.
What?
Larry King?
He's a hard-boiled investigative journalist.
He asked the easiest questions of anyone on TV.
He really backed me into a corner a couple times there.
Well, I think you handled yourself pretty well, but I do have a couple of clips, and maybe I could ask you to expand upon some of your answers. First, though, the first thing out of the gate, Larry points out that maybe you and the president aren't the most popular people in the United States these days.
How do you deal with it when public opinion polls are stridently against the policy? We have Republican senators like Lugar and Hagel and Voinovich and Domenici questioning it. Do you ever, as an intelligent person, look in the mirror and say, maybe I'm wrong?
The polls are notoriously unreliable in the sense that they change all the time. They bounce around all over the place. That if you looked simply at public opinion, for example, a lot of the key decisions in our history would never have been pursued or followed through on. Washington never would have carried through for 7 years of the Revolution.
You went back to President Washington in the Revolution?
That's right. Nice. That's right. If you go on public polls, we never would have ended slavery. How about that? Because a lot of people liked owning the blacks.
Right. But I think you can say that the polls change all the time, but haven't they been fairly consistently negative towards the decisions you and the president have made for a long time now?
No, they're all over the place. Sometimes his approval rating is 35%. Sometimes it's 36%.
Yeah.
It's not to be trusted.
That is all over the place.
They're all over the place. They can't be trusted.
But it's a great question that Larry asked, which is, do you ever think maybe you're wrong? I'm going to give you another chance to answer that, Dick.
That's
my answer. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good answer.
That's my answer. All right. Let me just clear my throat here.
I got you.
All right, easy shotgun.
Of course, you were asked about progress being made in Iraq.
When you think about what's been accomplished in, about 4 years now since we originally launched in there. They have, in fact, held three national elections and written a constitution. There are a significant number of Iraqis now serving in the armed forces, serving as part of the security forces.
What about all the people who get blown up every weekend and the fact that there's no electricity and there's no clean water and there's less oil coming out of the country than before the invasion? You factor any of that into your answer, Mr. Cheney?
You can't make an omelet without shooting a few eggs.
So you're here to tell America that it's going great over there.
Things are great. Things are. They have a constitution.
Yeah.
They have. They're going to find somebody over in that country who can read to read it to them. Oh, next step. They're going to get some water and drink it someday soon.
Someday soon.
Things look up. Things are really looking up.
It feels a little bit like whenever we leave, it's all going to go right to hell in a civil war.
No way.
Not the case.
They are solid as Kenmore over there, I'll tell you. Stay the course. Everything looks good. March to freedom. War on terror. Blah, 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 blah.
Even maybe you're losing some enthusiasm for the message, right? Now, there's a little bit of controversy when you've been asked to provide information in various investigations swirling around the administration. And depending on who's asking, that's how you answer which branch you actually work for in the government. And Larry asked you about that.
To which branch of government do you belong? Are you executive or legislative or both? We were a little confused over your recent statements that you're not in either.
The fact is, the vice president's sort of a weird duck in the sense that you do have some duties that are executive and some are legislative.
Does that mean, therefore, there are certain areas you can claim one or the other and not be responsible for one or the other?
Well, I suppose I try not to do that.
But you do what? Manage to do it sometimes anyway, though, right, Mr. Vice President?
Did he say duck?
No. You were saying the vice president's office is a weird duck.
Not a real duck.
I mean, you're clearly in the executive branch, Mr. Cheney, clearly.
Oh, see, that's where you're wrong. I am actually the head of the Treasury.
The head of the Treasury?
Or the IRS.
You're not the head of either of those.
You don't work for either of those?
Or the president of the NSYNC fan club.
you got to understand that, when you say you're not a member of the executive branch, so the people go, huh?
Well, it's very complicated, too complicated for you to understand.
Not really.
Oh, that's what it is. I see.
Yeah.
It's us. Okay.
Stay the course. Freedom's on the march.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Two more quick clips from last night's Larry King Live on CNN. We're talking to Vice President Dick Cheney. Of course, he had to bring up embattled Alberto Gonzalez, who has very little support left, even in your own administration.
Alberto Gonzalez, you stand by him?
I do. Al's a good man, good friend, and in a difficult assignment.
Are you troubled by the appearance of him not telling the truth?
Well, I don't want to get into the specifics with respect to his testimony and the questions that were asked. I know Al on a personal and professional basis, and I hold him in high regard.
You're going to stand by him?
Yes, sir.
No doubt about that.
Correct.
So he's your friend. Doesn't matter what he did. He's your friend.
Stand by your man. Give him two arms to cling to. I don't want to get into facts.
Right.
They're so messy.
Yeah, that's true.
They do. They interfere with the message.
I don't want to deal with facts or truth or what is actually going on. Sure. I like appearances.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm a good-looking fella.
You are.
I understand, sure. Yeah. And finally, you're counting down to the end of your public service. I mean, you're a guy who's been in government for, 40 years or something like that, Mr. Cheney, and it's all over January 20th, 2009. Let's see what you had to say about that.
What are you going to do in February 09?
I have no idea. I haven't given it any thought.
Did you ever run for office?
No, I have run for office now.
I mean, again.
8 times. I wouldn't. Fulfilled my desires in that regard. I have no plans to seek office.
Take a government post in a Republican administration?
Probably not.
Any chance to think about that since the interview last night, Mr. Cheney? You given any more thought to what you're really going to do in retirement?
I've run my course of public service. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to come February. I will turn back into a bat and then fly back to my castle in Transylvania. Get inside a box of my native soil.
Right.
And just take a long nap before rising again to rule the undead.
Well, that's a good answer.
That's a full-time job.
Now we know.
I'm sure it is. Thank you, sir. Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, Dick, Dick. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. The Iraq War is just about to end. That news just in.
Wow. That's
really?
Great news.
Yeah, we're going to talk to the person who is going to make it happen, Ashley Casale, who is marching for peace right now. She's walking through Iowa.
She's walking.
Right. Walking
to
through
end
Iowa.
The war.
And so when she gets to Washington, D.C., apparently the war will end.
If only the Pentagon had thought of this strategy.
So that'd be good.
We need to send people out walking.
That sounds like good news, I guess. That's coming up. Also, of course, Travis Pastrana and more X Games tickets for X Games 13. And why Shaolin Robot will remain a virgin until she dies. Beep. We'll talk to our new K-Rock intern coming up. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Wednesday morning at 6:54.
Speaking of war and what's coming up later in the show, we'll be talking to Steve Zahn, who stars in a new movie called Rescue Dawn.
Yeah, that looks good.
Which I saw yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And let me tell you, it makes you not want to be in a war.
Really?
Yes.
Because I had hoped to end up in one day.
that was my dream.
It's an awesome movie. Steve Zahn is amazing in it, but it is rough. It's a rough picture.
Who's that other guy? I can't.
Who else stars in that movie?
What's the other person's
name? Oh.
I'm blanking on it.
I can't remember.
I think it's Mike's boyfriend, you guys, Christian Bale.
Oh, tissue!
Yeah, he's pretty amazing himself. But what these guys go through just to film this movie, it's going to be a very interesting interview with Mr. Zahn later on.
Great.
But, yeah, he's great.
Can't wait.
I tell you, you sure do hate Charlie.
Yeah.
When you're done with that movie.
Not just a Charlie fan?
No, yeah, the whole Viet Cong thing. You're not really high on them when the movie's over. Other Laotians, for that matter.
Yeah.
You just want to get yourself a big bucket of napalm and just say, let's just wipe them right off the face of the planet.
I wonder why.
Don't trust the yellow man!
I wonder why Ralph was punching Shaolin Robot in the face earlier this morning.
Yeah, I said, you Charlie? I was in the bush with Charlie! It turns out she's not Charlie at all. She's Chinese.
Not at all.
Which had nothing to do with the Laotian. She's Laotian?
I think she's half
Vietnamese?
BC. Yeah.
North or south?
I don't know.
I will take her out.
Her dad was actual
North.
Charlie.
He was VC?
Her dad was legit, like, in the war. And,
all right.
Dude.
Remember, he's covered in tats and won't tell her what they mean?
Yeah, it's probably, you know, his hash marks where he's counting how many GIs he offed.
Right.
Don't get me started on Charlie.
Do we need some security for Shaolin?
They are, they're not fun, those guys.
Well,
in those prisoner war camps?
No.
They tie you upside down and then they strap a hornet's nest to your face as they hang you upside down in their little prisoner war camp. Makes Abu Ghraib look like a weekend at the montage.
Is it possible they mean it in a nice way, though, Ralph, when they're doing it? No?
No.
Okay.
They're kind of facelift or something?
No.
They're out of the dead skin?
It's not Botox.
Celebrities are paying to have the wasp nest strapped to their face.
That's right. Yeah, it's not good times. All right, let's talk about show business stories, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
Britney Spears tells a photographer, I'm going to kill you.
Oh,
what?
Dude.
Here, the whole time we were worried that Britney and her ilk were going to kill themselves. I think it's that we have something else to worry about. They're going to turn. They're going to start taking us out.
I'm going to kill you.
She was leaving a Las Vegas spa, and she threw a baby bottle at two photographers who were taking pictures of her as she left. Britney screamed at Andrew Dietz, one of the photographers, I am going to kill you. And then Dietz, according to a statement released by his lawyers, was beaten by one of Britney's bodyguards.
Oh.
What was he trying to do? Take her picture?
Yes.
That was it?
Yes.
How dare he?
Yeah.
She's the same woman who calls photographers to let them know where she
is. Yeah, screw her. I'm going to kill you.
Takes
She's
off her clothes
it.
And dances around in her underwear when photographers are around. That one.
And then right after that, her kid started crying because he was hungry. He's like, I don't have any milk. I just threw it. Leave me alone.
Great story in, I think it's Us Weekly or The Star. I don't know, one of the tabloids coming out this week. That some sources are saying that Britney fills the baby bottles up with soda. That her kids are carrying around.
Oh, no.
Good times.
Ding, 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 ding. Get back to the trailer park, baby.
Tight.
So Tuesday, she threatened to kill this photographer. Then 2 days later on Thursday, he was beaten by her bodyguard when he showed up at another location to get her photograph. So,
wow.
Good times. Good times with Brit.
Not to come to her defense, because trust me, she's nutty. But sometimes those guys cross the line.
Oh,
that would drive me nuts.
Absolutely. But she also courts them.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, she has created her own hell. And it's not like he wasn't, you know, he wasn't being forceful or aggressive or physically, you know, contacting her. He was at a distance shooting pictures of her coming out of a building, and she just snapped.
Ding, 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 ding. She had underwear on, and she didn't want to be ever pictured that way.
Yeah, hello.
More white trash news. Jessica Simpson is claiming that she turned down the opportunity to play Jenna Jameson in the planned biopic about the porn star.
She turned it down.
Yes.
She is not enough, a good enough actress to play Jenna Jameson.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that tragic when you're not
it's
a good enough
so
actress
true.
To be a porn star?
Yeah.
This comes, of course, from her manager slash creepy dad, Joe.
Yeah.
Who says, the last script that came to us was for Jessica to be a porn star. We were promised she would win an Oscar with that. I was like, well, we'll just buy a little Oscar and keep our clothes on.
Yeah.
He said. I don't think you can buy an Oscar, Joe, but good
yeah,
luck.
Yeah, I don't
that.
Think so. Yeah.
You know, when we had Jenna Jameson on within the last couple of weeks, Ralph, we asked her about the movie because it has been a very hot property. A lot of people are really looking for it. She's the most successful porn star of all time. There's a great story to be told. She told us she thought and hoped Scarlett Johansson would play that role, which I still can't believe what happened.
That is Jenna's choice. However, Scarlett has not signed on.
That's my choice as well.
So, but we know Jessica won't be doing it. She won't be earning that Oscar.
Nope. Yeah. They're going to buy one. Her dad went on to say, have you seen my daughter's rack?
Mm. Don't get me wrong. I love seeing my daughter in the nude. But she's not going to play a porn star. For you. Only for me at home.
I like boobs. Big boobs.
Yeah, boobs are good.
He's got plenty of naked movies of her in his house, I'm sure. I'm just saying. You guys know how creepy he is.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Rachel Hunter is going to write her autobiography, The Supermodel.
That might be interesting. Mm-hmm.
However, don't look for any dirty laundry about any of her boyfriends or anything.
Well, what's the point, then?
I have no idea. She's
going
to print her memoirs about being a supermodel and a mom, but she's not going to be telling any revelations about her ex-husband, Rod Stewart, or any other man.
Well, then I'm not reading it.
Yeah. Not that interested now.
Mm-mm.
Kirsten Dunst, according to Friends, is in a bad way.
Yeah.
She's got... just her face.
Yeah.
She's got relationship problems. Apparently, she was in tears on the set of her new movie because her boyfriend, Johnny Burrell, dumped her. 2 days later, the couple was back together and house hunting.
Oh, good.
What? Friends are claiming her love life is a mess. Just like her grill.
Yeah.
And the Nielsens are out for last week's top 10 TV shows.
Yeah.
This is depressing, but I'm going to read it anyway. The reruns of Shark. That's good news in
that's
the top
good.
10. That's a good show.
All right.
Number 9, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Montgomery Burns.
Excellent.
Hell's Kitchen, number 8. That show.
Is that the one where the chef yells at
yeah,
people?
That's yes. all he does. He just makes them cook and yells at them.
You're bad, now cook more. Pack up your knives and get the F out of here.
That's all he does every show, yes. though. It's pointless.
Yeah.
Don't forget the lyrics. Moving up from number 10 to number 7.
Oh, my God.
I actually,
No.
Ralph
no.
Garman.
No. no.
I was flipping around.
No flipping.
And I landed on Wayne Brady and Don't Forget the
and
Lyrics.
And you kept moving.
And it's actually a pretty entertaining
show. We've lost Ralph.
Pretty entertaining. It's better than the singing game. I'm just saying it's better than the singing game.
So what?
You shouldn't know that.
Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't. 2.5 Men, number 6. 60 Minutes, number 5. How about that? I think the only reason that happened was because it was about mixed martial arts, I think, this past 60
UFC?
Minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So You Think You Can Dance, number 4. Singing Bee, number 3.
Wow.
CSI, number 2. America's Got Talent, the number 1 most watched show in America last week.
Wow.
I don't watch any of those shows.
Me
neither.
You should watch Shark. That's
no,
good.
No, I watched it when it was right. not the reruns.
Oh, I see.
Don't Forget the Lyrics is pretty fun, though.
Shut up, Ralph.
Come on.
Just saying. It's not
but
horrible.
Isn't it a show where they have to continue singing? The song is playing and then it stops, then they just keep singing? That's the whole show?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
How is that a show?
It isn't.
Because sometimes they forget the lyrics, sometimes they don't.
Really?
Yeah.
And how is that better or worse than the singing bee? It's like one is poo and one is poo with nuts.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. That's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chuck D, rapper from Public Enemies, 47 years old today. Coolio. He is 44 years old today. Tempest Bledsoe, who played Vanessa on The Cosby Show, turns 34. Joe Elliott, singer for Def Leppard for many, many years, 48 years old today. And Dom DeLuise, yes, Dom DeLuise, fat comedian Dom DeLuise.
Still alive?
Still alive.
Can barely walk.
Barely move.
Yeah.
He's been in 20 years is what he is. He's 74 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, a lot of people are frustrated with the Iraqi war, Kevin.
Yeah.
And a lot of people feel like, wow, I wish there's something I can do. And maybe you've, you know, written your congressman or maybe you've marched out in front of the federal building or something like that. But it's just not enough. You're looking for something else you can do to end this war that people dislike so much. Well, the answer is you just walk.
You walk.
You just walk. That's what you do.
We have Ashley Cassell on the line. Good morning, Ashley.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How's it going with you?
Great.
Okay. Ashley, where are you right now? Where are we talking to you?
Right now, we're in Western Illinois.
Okay.
Are you walking down a highway right now or through a town or what?
Well, we're just about to enter the tiny town of Joy, Illinois, and I stopped walking for a bit, but we've been pretty much walking every day, all day, since San Francisco.
So you left San Francisco on May 21st.
Yes.
And you're walking all the way to Washington, D.C., and you're going to arrive there, you hope, on September 11th.
Yep.
Okay.
How many miles are you covering a day?
Well, we cover about 25 miles a day, sometimes a little more, a little less. It's pretty much just walking all day long.
Do you know how much faster it would go if you had a car?
It would go much faster, but I think the point is that we're walking and we're showing how much we want the war to end and we want peace.
You know what? If you really wanted the war to end, you would crawl on your stomach.
Yeah, that might work, too.
That would be better.
Because walking is too easy, really, right, Kevin? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Sure, yeah.
How hard is it on you physically walking day after day, 25 miles?
Well, it's pretty tough, but you get used to it after a while. The first couple weeks we started, we had some pretty bad blisters and some aches and pains, but now we're pretty much veteran walkers. We had some other marchers join us more recently, so mm-hmm. now they're going through the blister orientation just like we were.
Now, when you started, you were not from San Francisco or California, right? You were from Illinois.
I'm actually from New York.
From New York,
and I go to school in Connecticut. Yep,
okay.
And that's
okay.
where I began organizing the march, and I flew out to San Francisco to meet with another marcher, and we kicked off from there.
Okay, but wasn't it faster when you flew out to San Francisco than walking?
Yeah, it was definitely faster.
Because it seems like you could fly back and already be there.
Maybe we're missing the point, Kevin. Maybe speed isn't the point of this exercise. Now, Ashley, how did the idea come to you? What made you think, I know, the key to ending this war is to walk 3,000 miles?
No, there really wasn't any great epiphany. It was just kind of an idea I had, and I wanted something different and something that would be bigger and more dramatic and show really our commitment to peace, not just a one-day rally or a really short march, but a march that takes a whole summer, that's student-organized, and, you know, just walking from coast to coast is a pretty powerful statement, I felt.
And you have thousands of people with you?
We don't have thousands of people with us. We're a very small group. We started with three from San Francisco. Then for the bulk of the trip that we were down to just two of us, and now momentum's gaining a little. We've had three more marchers join on. We've also had a support vehicle come out, and anyone can walk with us just for a day. If they check our website at marchforpeace.info, a lot of people come out just to walk with us for a few hours or for a day or two.
Now, when you started with three and then one person dropped out, that person doesn't want the war to end?
Definitely not. I think it's just, you know, it's a real physical demand. So anyone who can't, can't stay in, we totally understand.
Right. Okay.
We're talking to Ashley Cassell. She is 19 years old, by the way, and she's walking across the country as a protest against the war. Again, that website is marchforpeace.info. Look, I'm impressed with your dedication to the cause. I really am. I mean, when I was 19, I was just throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner. But who is it that you think is hearing your message, Ashley? I mean, are you reaching the people who actually do have the power to influence policy in Iraq?
Well, what we believe is that all the people have the power to influence the policy, and what we really need is to incite citizens to speak out and take action. And then by doing that, then we'll influence the people who actually do make the decision. So we hope just that every person we talk to and every person we touch and get to, you know, galvanize a little and take action, that's eventually going to be the key to the solution.
I think our thinking was that we understand people who want the war to end, that makes sense, and that you want to do something. But if it came into my mind, hey, I should walk across the country, the next thought would be, no, that won't work. You know what I mean? Like, how's that going to work?
Well, you know, we also recognize that our message might be completely ignored. When you think back to Vietnam, I mean, there were tons of huge, huge marches and protests that were pretty much ignored. And so we understand that that happened again. But we think there's a deeper point, and that what we're doing is just generate a culture of peace in general, and that, you know, even if this action itself doesn't directly end the war, we're still getting closer to peace step by step.
Well, you are getting some press. I mean, we're doing an interview right now. At least it's talking about peace, which may be more than, you know, people are hearing throughout the day today. I mean, it just puts it out there for whatever that's worth. Are you encountering any kind of protesters or anything along the way? Anyone who disagrees with what you're doing?
Not like organized counter protests, but there are plenty of people who disagree. We've passed through, we've pretty much seen a cross section of America, and some towns can be very conservative, and people will drive by and scream obscenities out the window or something. But,
nice. Nice.
You know, yeah, we've definitely seen a variety of opinions.
She's walking.
Like the general.
She's walking across the country, and people are cursing her out.
For peace.
Yeah.
She's
for
walking
peace.
For peace.
Well, it's a pretty radical idea, Lisa. Come on.
So Ashley, what do you do when you get to Washington? Do you try to meet with your congressman, or how does this whole thing end? Is there a ceremony, or do you just walk right to the airport, get on a plane, and fly home?
Well, we will walk to the White House, and there's actually going to be, September is a big month of action in Washington.
Right.
There are several rallies that are already planned that are going to be going on, and we hope to stay in Washington for at least a week, have some meetings with representatives, join in some rallies. And hopefully that it'll call a lot of people from all over the country to Washington. And with a big crowd, we can really rally the place.
If you really wanted the war to stop, you would walk back to San Francisco then. I mean, if you really wanted.
She's not committed enough
for
you. Just saying.
Yeah, you're kind of half-assed if you want our opinion, Ashley.
All right, marchforpeace.info. You sound like a nice lady. I got to tell you, we wouldn't do it, but I guess it's good that you're out there doing it, and I hope it accomplishes what you're working for, Ashley. Thank you for talking to us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Worst idea ever?
God bless her.
I mean, there's no students out there doing anything. I understand the frustration of, I hate what's going on, and I need to make an impact. But
who knows? Maybe she'll pick up like thousands of people when she hits Washington, D.C.
She's just walking now.
She's doing what she can.
With two people.
Stop, Kevin.
I'm just saying.
You're being mean.
I'm just
Leave
saying.
Leave all alone.
I'm just saying.
She's
how
walking.
Effective.
Lisa, he's just saying. Yeah. So a lot of booing going on at Dodger Stadium last night. That's not atypical. There's always a lot of booing when the Giants come to town. But last night in particular, Barry Bonds got an earful of it, didn't he?
Yeah, Barry Bonds is, as you know, one home run away from tying the all-time record and two home runs away from breaking it. And nobody wants him to break it against the Dodgers because then it becomes a trivia question for the ages.
Right.
Who was the pitcher? Who was the team? When Barry Bonds hit the home run, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know how Mike feels, and he's the season ticket holder for the Dodgers. I do want him to break it against the Dodgers because I think forever that tape will be played with nothing but boos as he rounds the bases, and I don't know that he's going to get that same reaction on the next town that he goes to.
There is something to be said for that.
It taints it a little bit, I think.
If it's as much a part of it, like if it's so overwhelming that they can't play it without the booing, then maybe.
It will be bad.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, listen to me. It will be bad.
Oh, I know. So we put our best man on it last night, Dave the King of Mexico. He is in charge of the TiVos here at work.
Uh-huh.
And he was supposed to set the TiVos to get the game last night, Dodger game.
Sure.
Okay. And we were in the meeting yesterday after the show. We said, Dave, tape the game. He said, all right, I will.
And Dave's the right guy to go to, by the way, because the Dodgers are his favorite team. He's
right.
Very much wrapped up in this series. Of course, he wouldn't want us to miss that.
So this is the first at-bat for Barry Bonds last night, Dodger Stadium, and listen to the boos.
A single for Durham, and that means Barry Bonds will hit in the first inning. And listen to this reaction. Barry Bonds. Tried to hold up, but he went. That's strike three on the swing and the miss. That's the first at bat tonight.
Okay, so that's one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I guess Barry Bonds was up four times.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's the first one, and that's all Dave taped.
What?
I don't know.
What, did he just set up to tape the first half hour of the game or something?
I can't tell you. All I know is that's all we have. So Dave, being the responsible employee that he is, knowing that he's responsible for the Dodger highlights, decides that since it's not taping, he's going to call the Afro line and do play-by-play while he watches the Dodger game. So he will tell us what went on with 2, 3, and 4.
This is Dave doing it.
Dave, yes.
Doing it himself. He didn't hire a friend or anything?
No. Dave the King of Mexico calls the Afro line and leaves us a detailed message about what was going on. And you're going to see we might be possibly listening to the next Vin Scully.
All right.
Because he's not going to be able to broadcast forever.
Sure.
He's a legend.
Right.
And they need another legend.
He's already getting long in the tooth.
That's right.
He's already missing games left and right.
So, Dave the King of Mexico, I submit for your approval.
Hey, guys, what up? It's Dave the King of Mexico calling in because ESPN2 decided to black out the game, and that's where I was recording it. So I thought I'd just call and give you a play-by-play of Barry Bonds' at-bats. The first at-bat I missed because I was asleep, but he did strike out.
Okay. He missed because he was sleeping.
Well, I guess we're lucky that that wasn't the home run that tied Hank Aaron's all-time record, right?
Didn't the game start 7:30, 7:10?
Yeah.
7 o'clock at night, he's sleeping.
I was asleep.
So he missed the first one when he struck out, but he's going to be there for the rest of them.
So here he is. He's about to take his second at bat, and the crowd's booing him.
Okay.
And here we go. Brad Penny's on the mound.
You know, this to me is actually better than watching, you know, because he's bringing it to life.
I'm not getting the same feeling. I'm sorry, so far.
For one, and they're about to walk him. So no home run for Barry Bonds.
Okay.
Couldn't you just
Hey, guys, what up? It's Dave, the King of Mexico again. Barry Bonds is about at bat.
What, Lisa?
Couldn't he have just turned up his TV and put his phone right to the TV?
Sure.
So it would be just like hearing it, wouldn't
it? But not as good as his play-by-play.
This is theater of the mind.
Of course.
Take another at bat. It's the top of the sixth. Nobody out. And Brad Penny's still on the mound.
Okay.
He was walked the last time with the man on third. So here he comes. Here come the boos. Boo.
Okay, now
he
did that because he doesn't think that we can all picture in our mind what booing sounds like.
Right.
All right, so let's see what Penny's going to do today. Listen, Bat.
How can anyone say baseball's boring when you listen to Dave's play-by-play?
You understand he was just whistling.
So Barry's walking up to the plate.
He's not even at the plate yet.
There he goes. Taking some practice swings. Game booed. He's 0 for 1.
Wonder what booing sounds
like. Stuck at 754 career home runs. Penny's in the stretch. Here's the pitch. Up high, ball one.
Oh, I can't take this anymore. I'm sorry.
This is awesome.
I can't.
Here comes the stretch. There's the pitch. Up high, ball two.
Did somebody order Mexican?
That is the most exciting play-by-play I've ever heard in my life.
I love it.
Dave, he's at least responsible enough to know we were counting on him to get the audio, and he couldn't do that.
Yep.
Couldn't put the phone up to the TV like Lisa suggested.
No. Why would you want that? I'd so much prefer Dave doing it.
Cameras are flashing, so I don't know if they're flashing for the swing or... No, there he's in his windup. There's the pitch. Check swing, strike one.
Yeah, I don't think I can take this anymore.
Yeah, this can be like a 9-pitch at-bat. I don't think we have that kind of time. The show ends at 10.
His enthusiasm is overwhelming.
It is, though. I mean, it really makes you feel like you're there.
I am there.
And he's come so far from his days at PCC Radio.
Yes, he has. Yeah. So Barry Bonds did not hit a home run last night.
Really? Oh, thanks for cutting to the chase.
No home run. Well, we don't have time. It goes on for like another 5 minutes of freaking Dave talking in his sleep. But he did not get a home run last night, so I guess tonight's the next night, and then tomorrow night they're playing both here at Dodger Stadium. So do what's right when you...
I guess what I'm saying is when we talk to actor Steve Zahn from the new movie Rescue Dawn next hour, Mike is not allowed to get on the mic and ask any questions or say anything creepy about Christian Bale. That's what I'm saying, is he's not allowed to bring up his boyfriend Christian Bale, because that's not the point of the interview.
And he'll just drool, and
it'll be
embarrassing.
Listen.
How about just shut the hell up? How about a little of that?
So, Steve Zahn, great actor, next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget your X Games 13 tickets coming up. And what's going on with a schizophrenic mouse? It's for real. Created in a laboratory. We'll tell you about that. First, the Kevin and Bean Afro line.
323-520-AFRO. That's the number, 24 hours a day for you to leave a message.
It's Coolio's birthday? That's ludicrous.
Yes. Don't get very many of these. That's why we don't trust them.
Hi, Bean. I love Bean. Bean, you're my idol. Every night, you know, I kind of wink to your pictures. Oh, my God. Yeah, Bean.
Oh,
look,
well,
even I could tell she was mocking. Yeah. Even I could tell she didn't mean it.
Yeah.
I'm eating a Taco Bell chicken quesadilla. It's pretty damn good.
All right. Good old quesadilla.
Who doesn't know how to say quesadilla?
Thank you. Big Barry Bonds scandal going on, as you know.
Hey, you know what? About the whole Barry Bonds thing this morning? Yeah, it's because he's black. No, black man can't hold a record, huh? Black man, yeah, trying to keep the black man down, huh? Yeah, I see how you guys are. Yeah, there's no more black man on your show. What's up with that? Yeah, you got a Mexican. You need a brother.
Got an email from our good friend Nell, token blacklister of the Kevin and Bean Show the other day, who said he was in a barbershop in the neighborhood, and he actually heard an old man in the barbershop say, "Hell, the reason they're coming down on Barry is they don't want a black man taking that white boy's record." Not realizing, apparently, that Hank Aaron, who holds the current all-time home run record, is himself African-American.
Yeah, he was, and he's held it since the 70s, hasn't he?
Yes, exactly. They haven't got the memo. Apparently, they still think Babe Ruth's got it, I guess.
The black guy owns the record, and it's being broken by a black guy. Please understand that.
Hank Aaron is a horrible black guy name. That's why.
It is, yeah. They probably don't
realize. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Sure.
Asterisk. How the hell can you not say that word? Asterisk. You're the freaking idiot.
Okay, because it's asterisk, guy. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah, I love it.
How come we can't say it?
People call us idiots and then they can't say it either. That's funny.
Kevin Bean. Well, well, well. It isn't the dynamic duo themselves. I'm on to your scene. I know what you're all about. You should be afraid. Mwah. Mwah.
This is the worst scary laugh ever.
Anyone have any idea what's going on there?
No.
No.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Well, that's a good point, and we thank you for sharing.
I don't care for that one either.
Very nice.
Hey, guys. Wanted to ask you, you make fun of the Hispanics, the Asians, blacks, Americans, I mean, Armenians live in L.A. How come you never make fun of Russians? So work on that.
Make fun of Russians.
All right. We'll make a note of it.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wonder when the K-Rock pre-sale is for Hootie and the Blowfish.
Only street team members get that information. Sorry.
1991.
Good evening to Kevin Bean and Lisa May. This is your old friend Tom calling to say hi.
Tom DeLonge, everybody. That is nice to hear
Tom
from him.
DeLonge. That man was an imposter.
Ralph needs to stop being Bowie. 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 Ralph needs to stop being Bowie.
All right, you got it. We heard you.
Ralph needs to stop being Bowie.
The difference when Ralph does it is that it sounds like Bowie.
Right.
That's the difference.
Yo, Kevin Bean, what's happening? I just wanted to give you the heads up that there's a Trapped in the Closet Chapter 13 preview. Hit up StereoGum.com.
People, this is the most exciting thing ever. Chapter 13
yes.
is on the way.
Oh, that's awesome.
So R. Kelly did a kind of a short recap of the entire story up till now.
Oh, good. I need a refresher, because I have not watched other Trapped in the Closets in some time now.
Kind of just sets up Chapter 13, which is on the way.
Come and take a walk with me through the streets of Chi-Town. Let's look back and reminisce on all of the that went down. Pastor Rufus Lones comes home to find his wife been sleeping around with Sylvester. Oh, Sylvester's cell phone rings. He comes out of the closet pointing his Beretta. Oh, then they go through this thing, arguing, fussing, and time goes by. And then Kathy finds out about Rufus' lover, Chuck, the gay guy. Oh, shit. And then Sylvester calls home, never knowing that a man would answer his phone. Oh, shit. Then he got to his house, bust up in it, to find his wife, Gwendolyn. She was around with this Sasha, said, as policeman. And then they got into a fight. Wrestling over a gun. The wind screaming, stop. Next thing you know, they shot her brother Twan. Just a lick, he was barely hurt. Now here come Rose, the nosy neighbor. She thinks she's the neighborhood savior. And then things got real twisted. Police got home in his kitchen to find his wife Bridget. Is pregnant by this midget. Well, so far that's how the story goes. And now it's time to continue on. So get ready. Here is chapter 13.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
It's like a trailer for a new movie coming out where you kind of got to get the recap before you can understand what's happening in the new episode. But it's supposed to be, what, August 21st? And I guess they're going to be making videos that are going to show on the IFC that are going to be for each chapter of the... And there's something like 10 new chapters coming, right?
Yeah. Oh, the S word, 200 times in that thing. I think that's the name of the preview. So anyway, that's on the way. Very exciting. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
Glendale!
And it's 7:54.
Can't we send Mike out for food or something until 10 o'clock? Have him leave now. Come back at 10, 10:30.
Trust me.
7:54, Mike, please leave. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I can't do a Showbiz Beat right now.
Why? What's going on? What's the problem?
Because Psycho Mike has put up on my computer screen photos of Hayden Panettiere in a bikini.
Yeah.
Well, now, I'm going to remind you that you're not looking at those photos the way you think you're looking at those photos right now.
She's just in a bikini talking on a cell phone. That's all. It's all innocent. It's all very innocent.
He's
day
turned
at the
on
beach.
By the cell phone, not the bikini.
I'm a fashion, as you know, I'm a big fan of fashion. I'm a fashionista.
Sure,
sure. And I'm just admiring the fabric and the cut of that swimsuit. It's very in. It's very now.
A lot of people don't know.
It does look good on her. It's very hip this season.
In his private time, Ralph does design swimwear.
Yoo-hoo swimwear! That's my new line. It's called Yoo-hoo swimwear.
How many days? What's the countdown to Hayden? It's like 35 days or something?
Not fast enough.
Okay.
Not freaking fast enough. Tamika Foster is defending herself in the wake of the cancellation of her wedding to Usher.
Oh, this was the one that the night before they called everybody?
This is Usher's baby mama who was supposed to get married on Saturday. And Friday night, as early as Friday night, as late as Saturday, they were telling people not to bother coming. It wasn't going to happen.
Excellent.
There was some speculation about why that was happening, about her alleged past, her criminal past with some drug dealers, but the fact that Usher's family hates her. But she's saying none of those rumors are true. And they'll probably still get married. As of right now, they don't have a date, but she's thinking that it'll probably still happen. So we can wait and see.
Well, okay. What's Usher thinking?
I don't know. Apparently, the big part of the falling out was Usher, who for a long time was a mama's boy,
right,
fired his mom as his manager. They had a falling out. Oh. And ever since then, it's been kind of creepy. Speaking of kind of creepy. And so what he decided, his mother wasn't going to be here at the wedding because they had this falling out. So he decided he was going to cancel the wedding until he could have a rapprochement with his mom and put it back together.
Is that the only thing that canceled it?
That's what they're claiming.
Yeah, sure.
Who knows?
All right. I hate to see, you guys are going to think this is lame that I even care. I hate to see Usher involved in something like this because he is one of those entertainers who just seems 100% clean and straight up and, you know, good dude.
Yeah, he does. Now Mike's got Lindsay Lohan in a bikini in front of me.
Take the computer screen away from Ralph. He can't concentrate.
Mike's changing. Mike is changing
very
photos.
Very distracting.
And then with the mouse, he's making it go
jump
up,
and
down to get Ralph's attention.
Hayden is dancing on the beach in front of my eyes. It's very painful.
Those Lindsay bikini photos are maybe the best she's ever looked, by the way.
Yeah.
But we're back to Hayden.
Hayden looks pretty good, too. Yeah.
For a child.
Yes.
Adrian
she's
Grenier.
A cute kid, is all you're saying.
Yeah. Adrian Grenier.
Yes.
Oh! Had to turn down Paris Hilton not once, not twice, but three times.
Wow.
What was she offering?
She approached him at the new club Opera here in Los Angeles and demanded his phone number for her BlackBerry.
Demanded it?
Yes. Give me your phone number. You're hot. I want your number. You're hot. Let me put you on my BlackBerry. And he's like, no. And the third time, no.
Awesome.
Finally, he said, I have a girlfriend.
Right.
Bottom line was, no sale. He wouldn't play her little reindeer games.
Mm. Love that.
He seems like a cool dude, too, that Adrian Grenier.
He does.
He does, yeah.
Although, you know what? I've decided, are you watching The Entourage?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let's just make it Ari's show. Let's just have Ari.
That's what I think. Best part of the show.
He is the most interesting
That show
thing.
Just
Absolutely.
Pops to life when you're dealing with him and his problems, getting his kid into private school and dealing with that. I don't care if Turtle gets laid or not. I don't care about any of that stuff. I just want more Ari because that
too.
Stuff makes me laugh. I want to see Ari's other clients. I just want the Ari show.
Me too.
Can we just do that, HBO?
Ari and Lloyd.
Listen to us. Make it so. We're smart that way. Are you looking forward to that Nicole Richie interview? Diane Sawyer.
Nope.
On Good Morning America tomorrow and 2020 on Friday, she will be talking to Nicole Richie. Apparently, Nicole's ready to come out to the public and confirm that she is indeed pregnant, 4 months pregnant.
All right. Well, we don't need to hear the interview now, then.
No, she's going to have lots of things to say that are very interesting.
Okay.
About how she's a businesswoman and she was going to do charity and she thinks jail's going to change her for the best.
Okay.
I think that's Paris. I think he's talking about her friend Paris said all those things.
I have a hard time keeping them straight. And speaking of Paris, she is finally doing that charity work that she said she would do after she got out of prison.
Yeah.
In Touch magazine said she recently took some time off to visit sick children at Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. Here's the thing, though. She went to visit the newborns in the ICU.
Oh, they're going to so appreciate that.
They really, their spirits were really lifted when they saw Paris.
The newborns?
Yeah. She went to visit the newborns in the ICU.
The newborns are, what the hell?
You can't even pick them up.
I know. She looked through a window. She showed up through a window.
Oh, my God.
That's hot. They're babies. That's hot.
Wow.
Yeah, I think she missed out on the point of going to the hospital.
Yeah, what good is she doing there? Well,
maybe just me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. I can't even concentrate. Mike, you're killing
Mike,
me.
Mike, stop it.
Stop it. You're killing me with these photos.
Mike is nothing but a distraction on and off the air now.
What's the website? What would Tyler Durden do? Is that the website you're going to? Yeah, they got some photos.
Yeah, they do.
On that site. We really should try doing a radio show sometime instead of just entertaining ourselves and letting people listen in.
It's been years since we've done
that. Yeah, I know.
That's no fun.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ooh, Jessica Alba?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Celebrity birthdays. Joe Elliott, singer for Def Leppard, 48 years old today. Coolio, Gangsta's Paradise. Oh, remember Weird Al's version?
Sure.
The Amish Paradise?
Amish Paradise.
That was awesome.
Coolio. Can't have a party without Coolio.
Yo, what's up? It's Coolio with the flow of the neighborhood. Get a witch doctor superhero down to go toe-to-toe with any Hank, Frank, and Joe straight from the 4-0. T-H-E-V-Z, Foley Thieves in the house, Mass Circle for Life. Baylor.
Okay, ladies thanks, gentlemen, Coolio. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
Oh, mad those rhymes. Blacks.
It's got mad rhymes.
It does.
Yeah.
He just sits down and just rattles that off the top of his head. Me and I are looking at him like, hmm?
David King Mexico says 3 weeks until Hayden Panettiere is 18 years old. We should have a countdown calendar.
Yes.
Okay. Every day on the Showbiz News, I'm going to give you the countdown to Hayden Panettiere's 18th birthday.
It seems creepy. Kevin and I don't approve of that, but if you want to do it, go ahead.
I do, and I will. And Tempest Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Vanessa.
Yeah.
On the Cosby Show's 34
I took
years
some
old
heat
today.
For giving her a bell. Was that a misplaced bell last hour? She's, I thought she was still looking good or no?
No.
I don't know. I haven't seen her.
She was on Celebrity Fat Club, wasn't she?
No. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, listen. Yes, she was on the Cosby Show. Let's not forget her groundbreaking work as a talk show host on Tempest.
Oh, I forgot she had Tempest the talk show.
Yeah. Remember that.
Yeah. That's when they were giving everybody a talk show. Remember?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Everyone had Ricky Lake had one and Jenny Jones. You couldn't turn on a television set without seeing a talk show. Those days are gone.
Good old days.
And now everybody's singing and forgetting the lyrics.
And you're watching.
Not
the
you're watching.
Don't forget the lyrics. Pretty entertaining.
You are.
That Wayne Brady, he's got some talent. That's all I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. I
want to thank the K-Rock listener who tipped us off to the countdown, the Hayden Panettiere countdown that's already on the net. You can actually put it on your browser if you want to. Like right now, it's 19 days, 13 hours, 51 minutes, and 44 seconds till Hayden turns 18. For instance, if you wanted to know that.
What's the website?
And it's HaydenPanettiereFans.com is the site if you want to check that out. Not that there would be any reason you'd want to count down to a beautiful young teenager like that becoming 18, but if there were, now you know where to go.
Later this hour, we're going to talk to Steve Zahn from the new movie Rescue Dawn, and we have Travis Pastrana coming up for the X Games, plus more tickets for you to go to the X Games. They start tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Friday at Staples Center and Home Depot, and then Saturday and Sunday just at Home Depot, and it's going to be fantastic.
Good times. I'm impressed with the smart people who invent stuff, people who figure stuff out, people who unlock the mysteries of life, because let's face it, if it were up to guys like Kevin and me, nothing would ever get invented, nothing would ever get figured out, we certainly wouldn't have landed on the moon, we wouldn't have radio, we wouldn't have microwaves, we wouldn't have cars, none of that stuff ever would have been invented, because we're not smart enough, we don't have that gene in us, but there are people out there who are working hard.
We'd have nothing but alcohol, that's the only thing we would have.
I know, we'd still be living in caves and catching our own food, I mean, that's how advanced we'd be. But when you realize that there are scientists whose job it is today to get up in the morning, get dressed, drive down to the office, and then they work on figuring out how to make mice be schizophrenic. That's an occupation that I can't even get my head around.
Scientists have done that. They've genetically engineered mice and helped them develop the physical and psychological characteristics of having schizophrenia.
That is amazing.
So they give them schizophrenia, and then, of course, they hope to find the answer.
Right, the genes or
whatever. For human beings.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
So we asked Producer Lightning to line up somebody to talk about this groundbreaking research that is real and is going on right now at the prestigious Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore, Maryland. And I believe we have on the line Dr. Akira Sawa with the hospital. Good morning, doctor.
Johns Hopkins University. How can I help you?
We're calling for Dr. Sawa. It's Kevin and Bean. We have an interview scheduled.
Oh, the doc's out right now. Can I take a message?
Is this Bat Boy?
No. I'm a mouse.
Oh, you're the mouse that we were just talking about that the doctor's been working on.
I have no idea if you're talking about me or not. I don't listen to your show.
We were talking
about... I'm a big boy fan.
Oh, I see. I got you.
Okay. The neighborhood. again.
We were talking about the idea that people, that scientists are now giving mice schizophrenia so they can, you know, discover a cure.
Yeah, they want to give us schizophrenia so they can cure us.
Yes.
How about just not giving us schizophrenia in the first place?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is use mice to come up with something to help humans.
Well, I think that is the general plan, yeah.
Okay, so you're one of the mice? Or?
I am one. They have been, they developed it, so I have the gene.
Oh, you do? Okay.
For schizophrenia.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be studying me carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And go f*** yourself, you mother sucker.
Whoa. What's that all about?
What?
I said, what was that all about? All of a sudden, you just started screaming at us.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You just swore at us.
Oh, did I, bitch? Why'd you suck my mouth,
Oh my God.
You guys still there?
Yeah, we're here. We're here, yeah. Is there someone else on the line?
No, it's just me.
Huh.
Oh, you know what it must be?
What?
I'm schizophrenic.
That's what's going on here.
Yeah.
You have multiple personalities.
Sometimes my personality does a little flip-flop. Yeah,
I see.
I apologize.
It's a little scary,
I gotta
tell
you. Head up my mouth if you want.
It's a little creepy.
But you sound like such a nice, polite young mouse, and
thank
then you just
turn. I really strive for that. My mom raised me well.
Uh-huh.
She ate my other brother, but
wow.
She raised me well.
That's wrong.
Kind of traumatic.
Sometimes they eat their young mice.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, they sure do. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. So
when
are you just
eat me? Eat this. Lick my mouth.
They got to cure this poor mouse. This is tragic.
I'm sorry. Did I do it again?
Yeah.
Sometimes I have no control over it and no memory of it, oddly
wow,
enough.
Wow, you keep going in and out of it.
Yeah, I can use some meds.
Yeah,
yeah, bad.
Well,
yeah.
Are they not giving you any meds? Because I thought that was the reason they were giving you the schizophrenia.
Well, not yet. The first part of the trial is they just monitor me and see what my behavior is like.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then apparently they give me the medication.
I
so,
see.
Smell my fingers. Smell my fingers. Don't they smell like cheese?
Oh, I don't even want to know what that means. I hope you're talking about cheese.
Were you talking about cheese there, I hope?
Yes.
Sure, okay.
I'm a mouse. They eat cheese.
Glad to hear that, yeah. So how long is it until you get the drugs, do you know?
I think, the doc, he's at lunch. Let's see. So I'm hoping around 1 o'clock today I'll be there
okay.
So I can f*** your c***.
All right, listen.
All right. I think we're out of time, actually, for this.
Did I turn you on?
No,
you
not
want
at
it,
all.
Don't you? You want it. Who's your mouth? Who's your mouth?
I
did it again, didn't I?
You did, yeah.
I'm sorry. Why do my fingers smell like cheese? Weird.
First thing, we got to take care of some business. Boy, this new crop of interns, by the way, I got to tell you, with Johnny and Gator and, of course, the Shaolin Robot has joined us here in the studio. This is a great group, Kevin. You did some good hiring this time.
Yeah, yeah. When Shaolin came in, we knew she was a keeper.
She's magic.
Because she started talking, and we realized she was a robot. And so she's Shaolin Robot. That's her nickname.
People are emailing us thinking that it's a Ralph character, thinking that she's made up, that she's not a real person.
She's a real person. She goes to UCLA.
Yes.
And she's the one that we were telling you about that was dumpster diving. She goes dumpster diving all the time to get food.
Yeah.
And she was angry at Starbucks because they were going to not let her dumpster dive. So people would write in and say, why don't you guys give her some food? And we say, well, we're offering, but...
When she's here, we feed her.
She's got a lot of weird stuff going on in her life. She's got a father. She has no earthly idea what he does for a living. He has tattoos. She has no earthly idea what the tattoos mean.
Someone was suggesting earlier, Shaolin Robot, who, by the way, has not said a word as she sits there terrified in the chair, that your father was Charlie, that he was actually like working for the Viet Cong during the war. Is that possible?
No comment.
I mean, Jess.
Really?
Of course it does.
Was he Charlie?
I don't know who Charlie is.
Was he was he one of the Vietnamese soldiers who was fighting against the United States during the Vietnam War?
It's okay.
We're not mad at you or him.
It didn't have anything to do with it.
No.
I know, but there are people listening.
So yes is the answer. Okay. She's the one that was driving to work and peeled out, going up that tiny little incline coming up to the K-Rock parking lot. Her dad doesn't talk to her. She's a bouncer at events at UCLA.
Which is crazy. She weighs 80 pounds.
She says nobody's ever gotten past her. She said one person asked to see her manager because she was, quote, too physical. And one time, I don't know if you guys remember this, but she was talking to us in the office. And 1 second later, she disappeared like a ninja or something.
That was amazing.
She was there and we were all looking at her and then gone. Yeah. And we started looking at her like, where did she go? I have no idea.
And you go, and we're like, Chow, you were in the middle of a conversation. Why'd you just leave? I felt the need to leave the situation.
So Bean's talking to Shaolin Robot, and he's asking her about her her sex life.
Well, of course I am. She's young, hot, and Asian. What do you expect me to do? I had to get that kind of detail. And Shaolin Robot says to me, and I thought this was fascinating. And by the way, please don't misunderstand, Shaolin. We've got no problem if you decide you want to be a virgin for whatever reason, okay? But what cracked me up is that you told me this, and I wanted to find out more where you're coming from. Bean, if I have sex with one guy, then I have to have sex with all the guys. Now, I understand because I talk to women all the time. You were trying to get me out of the room. I understand you were shining me, and that's fine. I accept that. Of course I understand that. But I don't understand why, in your mind, men are like potato chips. You can't eat just one. I mean, can't you pick and choose and just have sex with the ones you want? Why are you legally required to have sex with 3 billion men if you have sex with the first one?
Well,
And if that's true, shouldn't it be true for all women?
Hey.
Right?
Let's let her answer.
Why would you say if I have sex with one, I have to have sex with all of them?
It depends on the person. For example, like, if I had to have sex with Kevin Federline,
right,
that would mean I would have to lower my standards.
Right, but that's not what we're asking.
But if
don't have to have sex with Kevin Federline,
but
though.
If I lowered my standards to the point where I'm sleeping with this person, I might as well sleep with everyone else like a prostitute.
Well, okay.
No, that's not what we're saying, though, Shaolin Robot. We're saying, why can't you just pick and choose the guys that are worthy and just sleep with them? You don't have to then sleep with their roommate and their dad and their boss and their mailman. You don't have to sleep with everybody else, just the guys you want.
It's not all or nothing. You know that, right?
Just the ones you like. You
can,
a lot.
You can pick some guys to have sex with and then most not. That's what most girls do.
But then they'll come up with the excuse like, hey, you slept with him. Like, why did you do that?
Well, every guy in the world knows that you slept with whoever the guy is? Is that what's going to happen?
No.
Okay, listen. All right, listen. If you say to a guy, I'm not interested in sex, and then he says, but you slept with fill in the blank, you can say, so what? And I'm still not going to sleep with you. You don't have to then. You're not bound by any law.
Or logic.
Or logic to actually then have to follow through with anyone else that asks.
That's true, but then I would feel really bad.
You shouldn't feel bad.
So you're saying you would sleep with one guy, and then the next guy that asked that you were not interested in, you would feel bad saying no to him because you said yes to somebody else?
Yeah, someone with low standards.
Huh.
What?
Wow,
I mean,
okay.
Someone I would have to sleep with.
Okay.
If I had low standards.
All right. Okay. Let's forget the low standards. Let's try and rephrase this. Okay. You meet what you think is the best guy in the world. Okay? You don't have to lower your standards. Maybe this guy is out of your league. Higher out of your league. And you sleep with him. Then you would still feel terrible telling people that are way below your standards that you don't want to sleep with them?
Then I wouldn't feel bad because he's like above my standards.
Okay.
Shaolin, okay. That's just not how the world works. You
Lisa,
get
you
to
need
sleep.
To take this girl out for lunch is what needs to happen.
You get to sleep with whoever you want to, and you get to say no to whomever you want to for any reason that you want to.
That's how it works.
And people know that's how it works, and they'll be fine with it. They'll just move on to the next girl.
Except guys you work for. I mean, those guys you have to have sex with. That's just the law.
I told her that when she interviewed.
Okay, so that's fine. Except that's off
Bean.
The table.
You don't have to. Nobody would make you
hey!
Do that.
But you understand that that's how it works. That you're free to say yes to anyone and no to anyone based on...
Absolutely nothing.
Whatever you feel.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's all right.
Okay.
Shaolin may be too young emotionally to be even discussing a sexual relationship with
I don't think we should encourage this. I think we should let Shaolin just be her.
I don't need sex to begin with.
Well, no, we're
Absolutely
not saying
not.
You do, but it's just the statement, if I have sex with one, I have to have sex with all, is absurd beyond words.
It was a big red flag that maybe there was a communication problem with you. That's why we wanted.
What are you talking about?
Well, if I sleep with a person who's really weird, I might as well just sleep with everyone who asks me.
Well, don't sleep with a person who's really weird.
And we're not you don't, by the way. Here. How does that logic even make sense? A, don't sleep with someone you think is weird. And B, why? Why does that make it so that you have to sleep with everybody else?
It's like if you eat a really bad food, you don't eat it again because you've learned your lesson.
True.
If you slept with Kevin Federline, which is your example, you still can say no to other scuzzy guys.
Right. That doesn't mean Vanilla Ice gets you. It's not how it works.
But what if they justify that, you know?
There's no logic involved. It's not.
You're not in a court of law.
Yeah, exactly.
Your vagina is not on trial. What if they bring up the case that you slept with that man? I'm screwed there. The judge will not believe me.
All right. Point number one on that is that that most people won't know who you sleep with. It's not like
it's your business.
We don't have some kind of a guy network where every guy gets an email when one girl sleeps with him, and then every guy feels justified in raking you over the coals. No one will know. You can sleep with K-Fed, using the worst example possible, and still say no to everyone else if you wanted to.
You don't need a logical reason to say no. Your saying no is good enough. That's all.
Lisa doesn't have a logical reason for anything she does, and she still does it.
I have logic for saying yes.
But she says yes without saying no.
Exactly. That's fine, too, by the way.
We just want you to understand how things work.
And you don't have to do anything if you don't want to. That's strictly up to you.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine the way you are, Sheldon.
Here's the thing. You can say no to everybody, or you can say no to nobody, or you can say no to anyone you want to say no to, and yes to anyone. So if I sleep with one guy, I have to sleep with everyone, is nutty.
Not true. Not true. Okay. You feel better, Sheldon?
Yeah. I won't be a hoe. I'll just say no.
Okay, there we go. Right. So we've accomplished something here. I don't know why we're spending our time trying to talk girls out of having sex with somebody. For some reason, we are today. But all right, Sheldon. Well, I'm glad we had this little talk. I hope we were able to help.
All right.
Thank you.
John in Pasadena, real quickly. Hi, John.
Yeah, hey, I have a real quick suggestion for Sheldon. Mm-hmm. You guys got to hook her up with that guy Nick from Locker Center and record the entire thing and put it on the radio, because I'd love to hear how that day went.
Mm.
That's a great idea. Yeah, I think that's a terrible idea.
I don't see that happening.
No.
That would be awesome. That'd be a great date. The two virgins together would be awesome.
I also got an email from somebody saying it had to be Doto.
Oh.
That would be a kid.
What, do you want to ruin her for life?
That would be a kid, though. I'd be super kid.
Yeah, well... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But see, you understand how things work, right? Say no to whoever you want. Say yes to whoever you want. It's cool.
Okay. I understand.
Right. I don't feel good about this.
I don't either.
Kevin Bean, there's one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. Mm-hmm. I need a woman.
First, though, Ralph, I'm going to give you the honor of introducing one of your favorite all-time actors.
One of my favorite actors. I discovered him, as a lot of people did, in Reality Bites, and then fell in love with him with That Thing You Do. He was great in Safe Men, one of my other favorite movies, Happy Texas.
Why don't you marry him?
I would if I could, but I believe he's already married, living on a lovely farm somewhere. Steve's on, everybody. Steve's on.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. Is it true that you are talking to us from the great country of Bulgaria this morning?
Yes.
What a weird life you have,
lovely.
Dude.
I hope you're there for work.
Yeah, no kidding. You gotta pay me to be here. Man. I mean, look. I've traveled the world, and I know there's great things about every place. But
right.
There actually are places in the world that kind of suck.
And Bulgaria would be?
Well, it's all right, but, you know, Bulgaria.
Yeah. No, we do.
It's one of those places.
You know, it's a tough spot when you ask people that have been there. They go, like, well, what's it like? And they go, they got great produce.
Steve, I've heard they actually smoke while they eat in Bulgaria.
Yeah, they smoke. While they sleep here, man.
Wow.
It's insane. That's... People just, while they work out, they're smoking.
What are you working on now, Steve?
I'm doing this movie with Danny Glover called Night Train. It's a thriller.
Fantastic. Tell us.
Yeah, it's like the backlot to Hollywood here in Bulgaria. Yeah, there's like six movies being shot
here.
Oh,
no right kidding.
Now.
It's
a
popular
production
place
there now. It's cheap, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, making tennis shoes in China, man.
So Steve is in a new movie called Rescue Dawn. It's been in the theaters for a little bit on a limited basis.
Selected theaters,
pretty hard to find, but I guess this Friday it's going to open wide. Ralph saw it last night. Ralph?
Steve, I got to tell you, it's an amazing film, and you're terrific in it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm really proud of it.
I think a lot of people might be surprised to see you in this kind of role, because usually you play pretty lighthearted fare for the most part, and this is the opposite of that.
Yeah, unless you think, you know, POWs in Vietnam are funny.
Yeah. tell us about the movie and Christian Bale's character, Dieter Dengler.
Well, it's a true story about Dieter Dengler, and he shot down his first mission over Vietnam in 1966, and he was captured and brought to a prison camp in Laos, and where he runs into me. I play an Air Force pilot, Dwayne Whitney Martin, who was there for about a year. Prior to him getting there. And then there's some Air America guys that were there for like 2 years. And they're a real crude prison camp. And they were there for a while and then realized the only way to survive was to escape. which they did successfully, and then they ended up in the jungle and realized, you know, the jungle was as much of a problem as the guards were.
I have a clip of that, of you talking to Christian Bale's character about getting out and running in the jungle.
Without water, you won't survive more than 2 days out there. Without water, your tracks will be visible for even more. The jungle is the prison. Don't you get it? Hey, listen. Let's say you do survive the jungle and lack water. There's 6 guards posted during the day.
Yeah, that is during the day. I'm going at night.
Yes.
Yeah. Dude.
And then so he tried to get off the island, it lost.
He finds out night is much worse than during the day, by the way.
Yeah, because they were chained together. Yeah.
By the way, Mr. Buzzkill. trying to talk him out of it.
Yeah, way to support the troops, man.
Nice. Hey, man, you can't run. You'll get caught for 10 different reasons.
Now, this is Steve Zahn on the line. We're talking about Rescue Dawn, which is in theaters now, even in more theaters this Friday. You saw the documentary that Werner Herzog made, the same guy who ended up directing this in the version that you're currently appearing in, and you knew you wanted to be part of this story. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, no, I was blown away by the documentary. I'd seen it years ago, and it was one of those that would give to people. It was so inspiring and moving. And so when I heard he was doing it, I just pounced on it and, you know, I had to meet him. And he was really cool. You know, I mean, he invited me over to his house and cooked me a steak.
Wow.
Which was very strange.
The documentary came out in 1997. It's called Little Dieter Needs to Fly.
Yeah, and Steve, speaking of Werner Herzog, he's known to be a little out there when it comes to making movies. He's a bit of a nut loaf.
Yeah, no, he's definitely out there. A movie with him is unlike any other. I mean, we didn't have any of the luxuries that, you know, trailers and chairs, bowls of Hollywood popcorn on set.
Really?
Playing high school grab ass. I mean, there's none of that.
Is he the kind of guy that wants you to be miserable because you're playing miserable?
I don't know if it's that direct, but yeah, kind of. I mean, he just doesn't want any distractions, you know? And and after a while, it's kind of great, you know? I mean, it could have sucked if it was with someone other than Christian because, you know, someone was just... Christian's awesome and one of the funniest guys I've ever worked with, which is surprising to people, but it could have been a nightmare if it was with someone else, you know?
I wouldn't think you guys were having a lot of laughs out there in the mud and in the jungle and hacking your way through foliage and everything. It must have been just brutal to shoot.
It was brutal. I mean, the hardest part was, we lost a lot of weight and all that, but it was being barefoot. These guys were barefoot, so, and Werner shoots so oddly. I mean, you never know if your feet are going to show up in it or not. You know, usually you can slip some shoes on for close-ups, but you never knew. So we just were barefoot the entire time, running around the jungle.
Dude, they change stuff in movies all the time. They can't put shoes in? That's not realistic.
Yeah,
they can create King Kong.
Right.
Can they CGI your feet in later?
Come on.
Yeah, no.
What's up with that? Psycho Mike, who works here at the station and is a big fan of Christian Bale, he'd like to ask a question.
First off, Mr. Zahn, I'm a big fan of yours. I was just curious, did you ever happen to walk into Mr. Bale's trailer in different stages of undress?
Oh, you're just creepy now.
Mike, no,
first of all,
trailers, man.
There were no trailers.
We undressed in front of each other.
Eureka. Are his pecs
right.
Glorious in real life?
No, he was scrawny in this movie,
fantastic.
Mike.
Yeah, Mike has a little bit of a man crush. Let me ask you this, Steve, and that is, since you saw the documentary so many times and now you've played one of the real-life guys who lived through this thing, where do you go? How do you become a guy who is so desperate to do anything to just stay alive? I mean, it's got to be – it almost has to screw with you emotionally, try to put yourself in the mindset of what these people felt like in real life in the jungle, knowing they could be dead any second.
Yeah, no, it was hard. And you know what? Part of the prep was, you know, I lost 40 pounds for it. Mm-hmm. And at first that was a real kind of, you know, a physical thing. And I was weighing myself and all that. And then I stopped and it really became a mental prep. I mean, and I just, the closest I knew that if I didn't push myself to the limit, I wouldn't feel like I was telling the truth, you know.
And I had so much respect for this human being and what he went through. And I knew that I wasn't going to even experience a bit of it, but I had to get as close as I could. So that weight loss became mental, you know?
I don't know the real guy of the story. Is he still alive or is he gone now?
No, he's gone, unfortunately. And
the guys were saying just before we brought you on that he lived through like three or four more airplane crashes.
No, Dieter did. Dieter.
That was Dieter, yeah. Yeah. Dieter became a test pilot after and, yeah, survived an incredible amount of stuff. And then, unfortunately, he died of Lou Gehrig's disease, which is very ironic and just kind of not too long ago.
Oh, that's sad to hear. You know, when Ralph came in this morning, first telling us that he saw the movie last night, he says he now has trouble with Charlie. I mean, he's having trouble trusting the Asians again, all over again, right, Ralph?
I'll tell you, the treatment that the Viet Cong gave to those prisoners, it is so inhuman. It's hard to actually wrap your mind around. It's so disturbing when you're watching the film.
Yeah, it really is amazing what other human beings will do to one another, and it's also amazing what people will endure just to survive. I mean, these guys were in real life when Dieter was at the end, he was 85 pounds. Mm. I mean,
wow,
you know, which is incredible. Yeah. You know,
now you may not have any interaction with this, but it says that one of the producers was L.A. Clipper Elton Brand.
Yeah, man,
is that? Was he a producer of other movies, or did he just get on board of this?
I think this is his first one, and he was he came out to Thailand and was hanging out. Yeah, it's crazy.
No kidding.
I'll say.
Bizarre. I mean, to think. I mean, you know, the NBA guys, you don't see that very often, being a producer of a movie.
Bizarre enough just to make a movie, like, on a lot in L.A. It's
right.
Just a crazy job, let alone being in the middle of Thailand, which is crazy, and then there he is.
He's like 9 feet
tall.
He's
a pro basketball player right there.
Yeah, I thought it really took me out of the film, though, Steve, when I saw the Viet Cong soldiers wearing Clippers jerseys. I thought that was really inappropriate.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Yeah. A little product placement there I thought was out of line, quite frankly. Yeah.
Well, look, the movie is called Rescue Dawn. It stars Christian Bale, who we've been lucky enough to have on the show a couple of times in the past. And now we can say our friend Steve Zahn is also in the film. Look, if you loved Daddy Daycare, you'll love Rescue Dawn. That's what I have to say.
Bring the kids. It's a feel-good hit for the whole family.
And that is in theaters currently, and look for more theaters to open with it on Friday. Steve, have great fun in Bulgaria, man. We really enjoyed talking to you today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
What about Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show? What about that?
What about the butt?
Why does Bean have to ask everything as a question now?
I have no idea. Why does he have to start high
Jeopardy?
A? Why is he way out of his range when he starts his question,
falsetto.
Too?
Falsetto. Everything falsetto.
What about the Showbiz Beat?
I'm just as God made me.
We don't like what God made.
So even God can make a mistake.
Let's talk about porn, shall we?
Okay.
Okay.
Legendary porn star Jenna Jameson is busy trying to get her life story filmed.
Right.
She ideally wanted Scarlett Johansson for the role.
As do we.
Scarlett Johansson has officially said she will not do that film. Will not take on that role.
Come on.
Found that out today. However, Jessica Simpson and her creepy father manager say that she was offered the role as well.
That's bullshit.
Joe Simpson says that Jessica was offered the Jenna Jameson role, but they turned it down because it was just too risque. Joe also says that the people who offered her the role promised she would win an Oscar if she took it.
I don't, A, think that that's a guarantee that you can actually make, and B, I repeat what I said earlier, was that she's not nearly a good enough actress to play a porn star.
She's certainly not good enough to play Jenna, but she's not good enough to play Jenna in porn movies.
Yeah.
No.
She couldn't even do porn acting. Mm-hmm. She couldn't be a porn star. Jessica Simpson isn't talented enough an actress to be in porn.
That's correct.
That's
no
tragic.
One would buy it.
Unless it was sort of, you know, Quiet Bukkake or something.
Yes!
They're opening up.
Are they?
The Winnie Rose.
Well, I hadn't heard that.
Quiet Bukkake. Yeah.
The new fetish?
Joe Simpson said, we were promised we were going to win an Oscar. And I was like, well, we'll just buy ourselves an Oscar and keep our clothes on.
That's right.
And by the way, what's this our business? They're not asking you to get naked being in a movie about a porn star, Joe. We'll keep our clothes on. He's just living through his kids. It's just so sad.
I think we can, I don't know if there's a betting site you can go to about the odds of somebody winning an Oscar, but
there's what would the odds be against Jessica Simpson ever winning an Academy Award?
They haven't invented a number large enough to put up against one for those odds.
Yeah, they wouldn't even. Yeah, they wouldn't even put it up.
Googleplex 1-to-1 odds. That's what it is. New York Post says that Lindsay Lohan. I'd like to see her play Jenna Jameson.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
She's getting just all kinds of support from her friends and ex-boyfriends. Callum Best, the guy she was dating off and on before she went into rehab, has been gossiping about her behind her back, talking about how she's no fun anymore since she got out of rehab.
An ass. Nice.
He opened his mouth to some of her friends, saying that Lindsay, when she began treatment for a drug and alcohol problem, was too dull for his taste. People are speculating that maybe one of the reasons Lindsay fell off the wagon so quickly is that the man she loved thought she was too boring, so she thought maybe she'd start drinking again and be more attractive.
She's hanging out with a good element.
Yeah, he's a good fella.
Yep.
Jessica Alba broke up with her longtime boyfriend, Cash Warren.
That's what I'm talking about.
She's single. However, Jessica is desperate to get married. Very eager to get married and start a family. So people are speculating that maybe this breakup may not last long. They might find a way to get back together.
I see.
So maybe this could have been an ultimatum type of deal. But.
You run into her down at Comic-Con. I know she was making the fanboys just their heads explode walking through that place in San Diego.
They have these panels where you go into different rooms at the convention center there, and you can see the Heroes panel or the Iron Man cast, whatever. And those they were just too full. They were just too numb.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to see anybody. Nicole Richie is finally saying in public that she is pregnant. She'll talk about it tomorrow with Diane Sawyer as part of their two-part interview on Good Morning America and then on 2020 on Friday. She's almost 4 months along, according to Nicole. She's carrying the Madden seed. So that's bad news.
John Madden?
Yes. Boom! Wouldn't
that be the best?
Boom! I got her pregnant.
Why is she a celebrity again? Please refresh my memory.
She was a best friends with Paris Hilton.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I think they did 5 seasons of that TV show.
Simple Life.
I guess. That's the only thing she's
done. And Lionel
right?
Richie's her dad.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. We're talking about the Comic-Con this past weekend. Gwyneth Paltrow was there. Talking about her new movie, Iron Man, which she co-stars with Robert Downey Jr., asked why she would do a comic book movie. Gwyneth said because she wanted the opportunity to work with Downey.
Boobs.
Boobs. She has none of them.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on a second.
There we go. That's right.
I apologize.
She's actually, women get less busty around her. She's like, she's like anti-boob. She sucks the boob out of them.
Like the black hole of boobs.
It's horrible, yeah. Gwyneth said she had to work hard to get back into shape for movie making because she just had a baby named Moses not too long ago. Hey, wait a minute. Wasn't he a prophet?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. She had a prophet.
Yes.
She was training, doing a cardio workout, just had knee surgery. Apparently, someone kicked her for being ugly.
Oh, come on.
Damaged her knee.
Why so much hate for my Gwynnie?
Because she's ugly.
She's not ugly. How dare you?
Please pardon me while I rip my eyes out.
I just found out about this, so I want to give you the heads up. But you know Heidi Klum?
Yeah.
Yes.
She is going to be at the Victoria's Secret at the Grove today from 7 to 9 this evening. You can meet her at the Grove if you're so inclined to drop by Victoria's Secret there. Heidi Klum.
Well, all right.
So,
I'd love to have a microphone on the things that guys who go through the line to meet Heidi Klum, what they have to say to her in that 15 seconds or whatever that they're in front of her getting an autograph.
That would be great.
Britney Spears is still melting down. She threw a baby bottle at the head of a paparazzi in Las Vegas and screamed, "I am going to kill you." A few days later, the same photographer claims he was beaten up by Britney's bodyguard. He is suing, as you can imagine. But Britney now threatening to kill photographers. That can't be good.
What a bitch.
And it's official. They just announced it today on The View. Whoopi Goldberg, new host of The View.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
No one in the audience cares, Bean. Not in this audience.
Yeah.
Freaking View. No, that's where she belongs on The View.
So we can ignore all of them all
yes,
at once?
Yes, all at once.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Joe Elliott, singer for Def Leppard, 48 years old today. Chuck D, the rapper from Public Enemy, is 47. Coolio.
Yeah.
He's 44 years old today. I thought there was some tape forthcoming there. But
oh, you want that? I got that.
Can't have a party without Coolio.
Yo, what's up?
Schoolio with the flow, the neighborhood ghetto witch doctor, superhero, down to go toe to toe with any Hank Frank and Joe, straight from the 4-0. THEVZ, Foley Thieves in the house, Mass Circle for Life, baby.
Okay,
ladies
thanks, and gentlemen, Coolio. Thanks for coming by.
All right, yeah.
And Tempest Bledsoe, Vanessa from The Cosby Show, is 34 years old today. Vanessa the Undressa, we used to call her on set.
Oh, no,
wow.
She was naked all the time.
No,
that girl.
You didn't.
I did. That just happened. Blow your mind. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Travis Pastrana, who admits he has the willingness and stupidity to try anything on a motorcycle. Pastrana flipping out of the game. Oh! Look at him. He's just showing the crowd. Superman Seagram. Beating up on the competition, Travis Pastrana on the Suzuki 125. The world is watching as Travis Pastrana, everybody in this house, wow, is now standing up and cheering on the 199. Go, Travis!
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Sorry, I had our mics down.
Me. Sometimes the only thing you can say is just, are you kidding me? I mean, that's it. That's all you could say. Ladies and gentlemen, X Games 13 starts tomorrow. It's been a huge week for us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ryan Sheckler yesterday. We had Sal Masichella on Monday. Jeremy McGrath tomorrow. Very excited to welcome back to the program our friend Travis Pastrana on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Travis.
Hey, morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're doing fine. How's it been going for you, man? Looks like you've been pretty busy since the last time we had you on.
Yeah, real busy for sure. Just got back, the event in Spain on Friday. Ended up winning that last freestyle event that I did. The monster truck event on Sunday and rally test in the last couple of days, and then wadded up this morning already on the dirt bike. So it's good time.
No kidding. It's so funny because I read a lot about that event in Spain. I don't know how much they do over there in Spain, but it's such a handoff of the old world to the new world when you guys are out there doing what you do in a bullfighting ring. I mean, it's a totally different experience over there, isn't it?
Oh, man, the crowds all come over. They have chainsaws, air horns. I mean, they see a heel clicker, and the place erupts like a double flip. It's inspiring.
I'm sorry,
sure.
Did you say they bring chainsaws?
Yeah, they take off like the front piece, so it's just the motor, so it's just noisemakers. Ridiculous.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard. Travis, I did want to ask you I want to say one thing first, and that is I've been to a tremendous amount of sporting events, and your double backflip was maybe the most exciting moment I've ever seen, because nobody wanted you to hurt. Everybody likes you, and nobody wanted you to hurt yourself, and it was a real, like, you could have hurt yourself really badly. So when you made it, the place just erupted. It just went crazy.
I've never experienced before where the crowd, the other riders, the media, everyone knew, kind of what you're going for. As a rider, you go through moments like that a lot, where you're nervous, you think you're probably going to crash, you might be end up in the hospital, and there's a good chance of it, but usually the people don't grasp it, and with the double flip, just because of the height, and it was, no one had ever done it.
Everybody
it,
started like biting their fingernails when you had them change the ramp. You had it moved up a little bit so that it was a little bit more extreme, and then they were like digging into the landing ramp a little bit, so just in case you landed wrong, it would be a little bit softer, and everybody was like, oh no, please no.
I had like a 7-year-old kid when I was going up. He's like, Travis, don't do it. When you die, you're dead forever.
Hey, that fills me with confidence. Now, I read you writing about that, and you said that you decided to do it on rock, paper, scissors.
Actually, I did. Well, the problem was once I moved it back, like I didn't really plan on doing it, but let me feel the jump. Let me see how it feels. And once I moved it back, the whole crowd just, everybody came alive. I'm like, man, if I don't do this, I'm gonna be like that guy. So ended up, I did rock, paper, scissors with my friend. I said, whoever wins decides who does it. And he won. He's like, you're doing it.
No, nice. Great.
It's so funny to hear you say you didn't want to be that guy, because if you didn't do it, it's not like there was somebody else who was willing to do it. I mean, nobody had done it.
Right. But about 2 years ago, I had planned on doing it. And I told a few people that I was going to do it. It got out there. and ended up breaking my wrist, my ankle, and had a concussion. Like, couldn't see out of one eye in the prelims. And I still competed, but everyone's like, oh, you didn't do it. I can't even stand up.
Hey, people, what do I have to do to impress you? Now, and then the funny thing, last, if I'm not mistaken, it was right after the double backflip last year at Home Depot when you tripped over a wire or so. What was that?
Well, I was supposed to get surgery before I went. I tore my my MCL and the cartilage real bad, and the doctor said go in for, you know, just get everything cleaned up a bit. But you know, it was a week before X Games, so I made it all the way through the entire X Games, and tripped on a wire at the end of the first a cable or whatever at the end of the first round of freestyle. So it was at the very end, and my buckhandle meniscus, basically the cartilage, got stuck on one side of the knee, and it just wouldn't move. I was getting it drained all through the week, but it didn't. It worked, you got to ride with what you got.
So the dude does a double backflip with that problem and then trips on a wire and can't compete anymore. He's done. He's out.
Hey, we're talking to Travis Pastrana right now. Of course, X Games 13 this week in L.A. We're going to talk specifically about Travis's events that are coming up in a moment. But first, we've got to get your comment on this kid in Michigan. What do you think about what's going on with this guy?
Dude, it's awesome. I mean, he's basically spent this last year, like, a double flip, technical-wise, it's not the hardest trick to do. You just have to be willing to go twice as high, twice as far, and if you crash, you realize you're not going to be getting up.
Right.
So if you're established, a lot of the top riders are like, well, but I'm already making a living in this sport. I'm not going to risk what I have. This guy from Michigan sent in a tape to ESPN and said, look, I have the double flip dialed into a foam pit. He actually made a resi mat where he put foam with a carpet over top and stuck it, rode out of it. I think he's got a good chance of landing it, but I mean, this is a guy that's never been in a competition. He's going to go to X Games all amped up already. He's scared to death on the flip. He's going to have media everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, signed a deal for like $200,000 just to show up. I mean, this is going to be a really big thing.
He did sign a deal already?
Oh, dude, he's got every, energy drink sponsor.
Sure.
Everybody trying to get off.
This is what's unbelievable about your sport, though, and this is why it continues to evolve and every year gets more and more exciting. There's no scenario in which they pull a guy out of the stands at Dodger Stadium and put him into bat. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, no, for sure. I mean, this guy, he's been riding his whole life, but he's basically just, kind of more of a redneck, like most of us growing up, always been on the bikes and, basically took a year and learned how to do this trick. That's all he's been doing.
Now, and he built his own park in the back amongst trees. He gave a video camera to a monkey, apparently, at the top of a tree.
Right.
On YouTube.
It's the worst videoing you've ever seen.
It's on YouTube if you look for Scott Murray double backflip. And he does the double backflip. He landed pretty damn hard, though.
Yeah, and that was on foam as well. His ramp is almost vertical, and He's going to be up. I missed the roof of the Staples Center by about 7 feet. I think he's higher than me, so he might have to take that into consideration.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
He's going to go up and hit the roof. That's not what you want to see.
No, it's not.
Travis, were you hoping, I imagine you had to be, hoping that A, you were never going to have to do that again, and B, that it would stand for a while?
No, evolution of freestyle, man. Last year the cliffhanger flip was something that only one guy in the world did. Now the guy that got 11th in Spain is doing a 75-foot, basically standing on the handlebars while doing a backflip. So, these sports continue to evolve. They continue, and that's what makes them what they are. And, you don't, like you said, if especially with X Games, best trick, it's not like you're putting in a whole run.
Right.
If you really, if you're a good motorcycle rider and you go out there and you can think it and you can dream something up, you can go out there and make something work, especially with the gymnastics background that, the best riders in the world haven't thought of, and that's what's cool.
Now, you're not competing this year in the freestyle or the best trick?
No, actually, I've been driving cars pretty much every day.
That's what I was going to ask. Tell us about the rally car racing and how you're full into that.
It's been awesome. Been, driving all over the world. We won the North American Rally Championship last year. Got lucky last year at X Games, ended up, Colin McRae flipped in the last corner back to the wheels, barely won that one, but he's coming back, so it should be good. They have a huge jump for rally. It's a 80-foot gap, like we'll jump over the other car, and we had a test day yesterday, and half the cars flipped, bounced. It's just going to be just insane.
Now, I heard about that, and I wanted to ask you this, Travis. How many backup vehicles do you have in the event that something gets wrecked leading up to the actual race?
The Subarus are pretty durable. I'm going to have to give a plug there. We, you could roll them, and unless you really hit something like and there's no trees on this X Games course.
I hope not.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guess you can hit the bleachers, but the car should be fixable. A lot of guys have kind of one backup car for a team, so between like two or three guys will have a car, so as long as you're the first guy to break your car, you're all right.
So if you want to see Travis, he's going to be the rally car racing on Sunday at 1:30 at Home Depot. And if you want to see him with the motorcycle, it's Moto X Super Moto Racing on Saturday at 1:45 at Home Depot. That's the one where you go onto the asphalt and then back onto the dirt?
Actually, I'm not doing the Super Moto. I realize I can't drive on asphalt.
Really?
Well, I can. I'm just not good.
I find that hard to believe.
Yesterday was the first day I've been back riding Supercross, so I'm doing Supercross, a new sport in the X Games this year. You know, Carmichael's going to be there. You got Windham, you got Chad Reed. I was riding with Reed yesterday, and wasn't 2 minutes into my ride, and just right over the bars, just belly flopped. I'm laying here on the ground out of the street test track going, geez, man.
What am I doing?
That's why I got into the roll cage.
Forget that. I'm getting into the car.
Well, there are some tickets available, but obviously they go fast as we get this close to the event. Available at all Ticketmaster outlets, Staples Center, Home Depot Center, box office. Prices vary for events. A lot of coverage again this year on the TV, including ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, and, of course, on the Internet at EXPN.com, too. Travis, you are our favorite, man. You are the best, and we're psyched that you're back in town, and we're psyched to see what you do this weekend. I hope you have a great time and continued success.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for having me on the show, guys.
Thank you, man. You bet.
Bye. You bet.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
That's what it's called. You pick up the phone, you call us toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, talk about whatever you want, and we'll give you a prize. Today it's a CityWalk Cinema Prize Package for 4 with movie tickets plus parking at Universal CityWalk Cinemas.
All right, let's begin with Gil. Good morning. Hello, Gil.
Hello.
Is this Paul or Gil?
Who are you?
Anybody who can hear us.
This is Paul.
Paul, okay. Oh, hey, Paul.
All right. Hey, what's going on, guys? Kevin Beanley's May.
Hi, Paul.
Why'd you change your name, Paul?
I didn't change my name.
No, I thought I went to the wrong line. All right, go ahead.
Kevin's confused.
All right, guys, check this out. I work out a lot, right? And I'm a medical marijuana patient, and I like it because it helps my soreness and whatnot. And, you know, and so what do you think about all the DEA raids? Because now they're closing down the shops, and we're having to go back to the streets and whatnot and do it the illegal way. So what's the point of that?
Wait. You take medical marijuana to help with your muscle soreness after you work out?
Hey, believe it or not, you can eat a lot of food after that and put on some good muscle, man.
See, this is the reason they're closing the
point.
Yeah,
you're the problem.
They're closing the clinics.
What's that?
Those clinics are for people who have serious medical issues.
Well, I have anxiety and depression, too.
Oh, please.
Sure you do. Right.
Yeah, you have anxiety and depression because you can't get enough weed. That's what your depression's about.
You're depressed because they're closing the clinics.
He learned that from the Entourage when they were trying to score the hat, remember?
Dude, it's not for you, I think, is point A. And point B is those that it is for, the people who have the cancer and the glaucoma and the other things where it really does help, it's absurd to me that the government is getting in the way of what a medical doctor wants to prescribe to his patient. That should be between the doctor and the patient, and I am outraged by these DEA raids. I'm not trying to speak for the other guys, but I'm sore about this.
I agree. And by the way, they put it up for a vote, and the people voted for it in California, and no one cares. So that that sucks ass, but you're going to have to go back the old way because you're bogus.
He is so bogus.
I get sore after I work out, so I need dope.
You know, sometimes I've had a hard day at work, and then I come home, and I just need to relax, and that's why I need medical marijuana.
Eric in Riverside, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Long time Kevin and Bean listener.
Thank you.
Death to Wing.
What?
I said death to Wayne.
Death to Wayne?
We love Wayne.
No, I think you mean death to Wayne is
death
what
to
you
Wayne.
Mean.
Oh, Wayne. Yeah. Wayne we do still hate.
Yeah, okay. We still hate Wayne.
All right, what's going on?
I called because I want to go on a date with Shaolin Robot.
Oh.
Yeah, well, she's...
I think you're a match made in heaven.
She hasn't really made the decision that she's going to, you know, sleep with everyone.
I don't think...
Sleep.
He wants to date her.
I just said we're going on a date.
He's supposed to go out with her.
Guys, I got to tell you, and you know her better than I do, but this is my sense of Shaolin Robot, who's our intern here at K-Rock. She's about 21 years old or 22. I don't think she's emotionally old enough to date. I don't think she's ready for it yet.
I have to agree.
Gosh, Dr. Phil.
Wow.
I'm just saying. She's just not there yet.
Good thing you're here to protect her.
She's blooming late is what I'm saying.
All right. We'll let her pick up if she wants to.
We would advise her not to, however.
All right. Let's go to Louie in San Pedro. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's going on?
I was just wondering, what's the deal with everybody thinking they're a cage fighter after watching the UFC event?
Everyone, meaning people who watch it and then go out and get in fights?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Just in general, like going out to bars and everyone thinks they want to fight nowadays.
Wow.
It's hot. It's popular.
Kids are doing the problem. I haven't run into that many violent people.
Me either. How many people have tried to throw down after watching a UFC bout?
Just me in general. I haven't seen too many people like on a day-to-day basis, but I did get into a confrontation where I did get thrown in jail once.
Because
someone else started a fight that they thought they were a big UFC guy, and I ended it.
And you got thrown in jail for
ending it. So a guy picked a fight with you and said, I feel like I'm a big, tough UFC guy. I want to fight you?
Pretty much. That's how it went down, yeah.
Well, that's one lunatic.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
What's with all these people wanting to be cage fighters? What about everybody?
It happened once.
Albert in Westminster. Good morning.
Hey. What a do, nephew.
What a
do. I just want to say that... morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Jillian Barbie is the chick from Fox. She's so annoying with... her kid. Nobody really cares about her freaking piece
of human. Did she finally have that baby?
I
didn't know she even had the baby.
I didn't
either. Well, they just showed a picture of an ugly kid with her in her house and cameras following her all around. Yeah.
What do you want? What are you watching that shows a big piece like that?
I'm at work and the patients here want to watch and we have to give it to them.
No, you don't.
It's Good Morning LA or whatever the show is.
Say
they're at,
the
right?
TV won't change.
Well, yeah,
They're patients, Kevin.
Whatever. You don't have to watch Jillian Barbary, for God's sakes.
Look,
that would make
them
sicker watching
her. It's not
going to
make anyone get better.
Yeah. Here's the thing you got to understand, and this is, it sounds like a blanket statement, and it is virtually almost true for everybody, is that when people have kids, that's the only thing that matters. It's the most important thing in the world, and if they have the opportunity to put them on television, they're going to put them on television. That's just what parents do.
Ugly. Especially her.
It's ugly.
I got to tell you,
she's a horrible.
I got to tell you, having kids, it is the most important thing to you. But there are a lot of people, myself included, who really don't force our kids on everybody else.
No, that is very true.
Kevin is speaking the truth in his perspective.
You're going to be surprised by this fact. It's also true that when hosts get pregnant on shows, their ratings actually spike.
Yeah.
Really?
People tune in to follow along with the pregnancy, whether it's Kelly Ripa or Nancy O'Dell from Access Hollywood or this broad. People tend to tune in to follow along with the pregnancy, and they want to see the payoff, which is the baby.
All right, I'm pregnant.
No, I think people care about the pregnancy. They care about the celebrities, but I don't know how much they really want to see that person's snotty-nosed kid for the next few years. Do they? I don't know that they do.
All right, let's go to Emmanuel in Los Angeles. Hello.
What did it do, nephew?
What did it do?
What did it do?
I just want to let you guys know that I was a big Criss Angel fan, and after hearing you guys, I just can't watch him anymore.
Because you realize what a douche he is, right?
Well done.
Exactly, yeah.
I feel proud.
Criss Angel mind dork.
He does cool tricks sometimes. They're amazing sometimes,
yeah,
but it's the other 57 minutes that he's just out of his freaking mind. He thinks he's Jesus Christ.
Fan club.
You did not almost join his fan club.
I almost did.
Oh,
I did not.
Wow.
You so owe us. You would have never gotten late again.
He charges $150 to join.
What?
Because when my father died, he said I should charge people a lot of money to join my fan club because it's important to him when he was dead.
Okay, wait a minute. You're saying that you don't just join his fan club because you're a fan. You have to pay $150?
Exactly.
Criss Angel is a big douchebag, the douchiest of all.
What do you get? Does that include a ticket to a show in Vegas or something?
You get entered into a drawing to have, like, lunch with him and be on his show.
World's worst lunch.
God, I hate him more now.
$150 and you might get lunch with him.
Can you pass the salt, please?
It's gone.
Is that a mind freak? Are you freaked out?
Well, you made the right decision by walking away from it.
I made the salt disappear.
All right, so don't do that, I think, is our advice. Thank you. There he is.
Thank you for the call, and thanks to all of our guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Actor Steve Zahn, who can currently be seen along with Christian Bale in Rescue Dawn in theaters, expanding a little bit wider, as Lisa likes to say, this coming Friday. Also, thanks to Travis Pastrana for joining us. You can see him at X Games 13, which kicks off officially tomorrow. Travis is going to be in the rally car racing with co-driver Christian Edstrom on Sunday at 1:30 at Home Depot.
This in from ESPN, by the way. Friday and Saturday almost completely sold out. Still some tickets available for Sunday if you want to go see it live and in person. And as Kevin has said many times on the show, that's the way to go to the X Games is in person. You know what? You can watch on TV, that's fine if you must, but see it in person,
right? It's so great, not only because the tickets aren't very expensive, but because you can see five, six, seven events sometimes. They keep things moving, and you watch motorcycles one second, and rally cars the next, and BMX bikes, and it's just fantastic.
It's like a circus with wheels.
It is, exactly.
And thanks to the lovely Ashley Cassell for joining us, too. She's a 19-year-old who's walking across the country because when she gets to her destination, which is Washington, D.C., on her trek from San Francisco, officially, the war will be over. She will end the Iraqi war. You can go and find out more information about what she's doing at marchforpeace.info.
I heard you said war is stupid. Is that true?
War is stupid.
Yeah.
And people are stupid.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, Austin Nichols is a guy who is...
Yeah, baby!
No.
Do I make you a horny, baby? Yeah!
No, that's not. It's Austin Nichols. Oh. And his guy is the star of John from Cincinnati.
Oh. And
I've not seen that show. I've heard about it, and I hear it's honked up, but
I've got
watched
my
it.
Eyes on you, Bill.
I've watched every episode, and I need to either beat him up or get off the show. I can't figure out which, because I have no idea what's going on in that show.
Yeah, it's pretty honked up.
I may be the wrong guy to try and figure out what this means.
If my words are yours, can you hear my father? Can Bill know my father, keeping his eye on me? Can I bone Kai and Butchie know my father instead? My father's shy doing his business. Kai helps my father dump out.
Okay, listen.
Dude.
Goes on from there.
It goes on for like an hour.
Guy's got an infected tattoo and a broken wrist, and his buddy's there from Hawaii. It's all very empty.
Guy stabs himself, and then there's no wounds. I don't know what the hell's going on with that show, but we'll find out tomorrow. Also, I don't know if you've seen this on the internet, but O.J. Simpson did an interview, and it's spectacular because people call up and ask him questions like, hey, OJ, yeah, I was just curious, was it harder to rush for 2,000 yards in a single season or to cut those two people's heads off?
Ooh,
finally,
really?
Somebody's asking that question.
Yes, and he's like, Bob, I didn't hear you. Your phone's breaking up.
So, who's he doing this interview for and
spectacular.
Why?
Spectacular. I don't know.
What's he promoting?
I don't know. It's online. Some woman that I've never seen before is interviewing him, and it's spectacular because people abuse him. Nancy Cartwright tomorrow.
Great.
She's the voice of Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
So sure she's been busy lately. Going to talk to her on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow. Jeremy McGrath from the X Games tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. That's all I can tell you about. There's other stuff, but I don't want to
say secret stuff.
Well, it's stuff that if we talk about, then people will make us not do it. So I'd rather just not say it.
I get you
okay.
now.
Not
now
say it.
I understand.
Do it. Right.
It's the man.
It's the man keeping his stuff.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Sometimes stuff just happens to your body. It doesn't mean that you can talk about it. It just means it happens, right?
Exactly.
Yeah! Okay.
Kat Corbett next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the Rockin' Tours. Also, new music from Smashing Pumpkins called Bring the Light. Stick around for that. Nirvana, Muse, Papa Roach, and so much more right after this on K-Rock.